there was a this weird little prostitute that we were walking, and she came up to me, and she was like, you gotta leave, turn around, you gotta leave. And so I was like, fuck, I gotta leave. So I turned around, and then I was walking, and I was like, she might have just told me that because there's a guy waiting for me. So I turned back around, and then I took another street, and she was on that street again, and she was like, you got to turn around. And I was like, fuck this.
Where are you coming from?
It was weird, too, because when I got back home, I Googled the street I was on, or I YouTubed, and I saw a video about prostitution, and she was on there. And she was just the weirdest looking prostitute.
She was on the video?
She was on the video. She was like this weird, like a crystal meth type of face, you know, with like four teeth and just a horrible.
Has she seen the video?
I don't know. Probably
not. Celebrity among the meth prostitutes.
Yeah, she's a.
Yeah, she's like local legend.
Yeah, she's the Russell Brand of meth prostitutes.
She has four teeth.
There's no Canada like French Canada. It's the best Canada in the land. And it's the other Canada.
It's a bullshit Canada.
If you lived there for a day, you'd understand.
I think you'd understand. You understand.
French Canada is the best Canada. If you lived there for a day, you'd understand. South Park, best show on television. Consistently, for like a decade now. God, it's good. There hasn't been a moment, maybe a season here or there, but not in a row. Maybe a season here or there of like, oh, it's not as good this year. But that's just natural ups and downs of anything. It's not like any other show where you'd be like, it's just not good anymore. Like fucking Family Guy hasn't been good for 7 years. But by the way, American Dad has totally surpassed it. Way better show. Roger's one of the best characters on television. Anyway, hi you guys. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. This week I'm in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix. If you guys go down there, thecomedymix.com, I'm guessing. Yep, that's it. So if you go there, and I'm playing on Thursday, on Friday, and on Saturday. Wow, tickets are pretty cheap too. Thursday's 15, Friday's 17. And it's only 20 on Saturday. Jeez. All right. Anyway, hi you guys. So on this episode of the Skeptic Tank, I talked to my friend Mike Ward. I was about to say Burt Ward. Who's that? It's Robin. I already went over it. So here's the deal with Mike. I met him at the Nasty Show in Just for Laughs, Montreal. It's this gigantic comedy festival. If you don't know what Just for Laughs is, one, you're probably not a Canadian or a comedian. Just for Laughs is like the biggest comedy festival in the world. I guess the Edinburgh Fringe Festival might be as big or bigger. I'm not really sure, but I don't even know if it's Edinburgh or Edinburgh. So how big is it really in North America? It's the biggest one in North America anyway. And they have the show, probably the biggest show that they have is called The Nasty Show. And I've done it twice. And that's where I met Kurt Metzger. And a few years later, it's where I met Big Jay Oakerson. And it's a fucking cool show. But one of the people that was on it 2 years ago, along with Mike Britt and Anthony Jeselnik and Jeff Ross, was Mike Ward. And here's the deal with him. He is a French-speaking, French-Canadian comedian. And what I really liked about him was that he taught himself how to do comedy in English. I mean, he knew a little bit. He definitely knew how to speak English. But to do comedy in another language, it's just like there are small, what's the word? You know, for little things. God, Ari. There's little things you do. Cadence. Fucking, I'm getting the wrong word. But there's things you do to get a crowd on your side with any joke. There's pauses you make. There's references you make. Certain things they understand, certain things they don't understand. If you go to a new region, some of your jokes don't work as well. Here or there. If you go to the South from L.A., some of your jokes, not many, but some of them are not going to work as well. It's just a different type of crowd. And if you go to a different like language-speaking crowd, it's completely different. And I really respect what this guy did. He just said, fuck it. I want to reach a broader audience. And it's like he had to take a pay cut for it, too. Well, you'll see what he says, but it's like there's a way better living to be made as a French-speaking comic in Quebec than there is as an English-speaking comic. So anyway, so that's what we talked about. He's a cool guy. We also talked about the UFC a little bit. He was about to go to his first one. We did this the day before. No, the day of UFC 158.
where George St. Pierre beat Nick Diaz. And then Nick Diaz said he might be retiring from fighting and he has never paid taxes in his life. And I'm probably going to jail. That's what he said. I've never paid taxes in my life. I'm probably going to jail. Fuck. Anyway, what I have to announce this week. First of all, my sponsor, if you go to Gamefly.com, if you go to my website, arithegreat.com or arishafir.com, there's a whole little sponsor thing on the right-hand side. I have Pro Flowers, so if you're going to buy flowers for somebody, go through that. I also have this thing for Gamefly. Gamefly is a... It's like Netflix for video games. If you've ever bought a video game and had it suck and be like, why did I spend $60 on this? That goes away with Gamefly. You just play it for a while till you get tired of it, then you send it back. So if you go right now, you can get a free 15-day trial. You can cancel before the end of the 15 days. Either way, I don't give a fuck. But the thing is, if you go and get a new 15-day trial free, they'll send me like $12 or $13. So if you want to support the podcast, that's a way to do it. Also, of course, get my special Passive Aggressive at chill.com/Ari. But yeah, go to gamefly.com/Ari. You can also go do Amazon shopping through my Amazon link on there until I get legitimate sponsors. Those are the ways you can help me out. But obviously, first and foremost, get my special. You can get my CD while you're there at chill.com/Ari. Or you can get my new 2013 tour shirt. It's available at my website. You can also go to my website and look at dates. Among those dates, this week, I'm in the Comedy Mix in Vancouver. Let me run down really quickly where I'm at for the next few weeks. April 6th, I'm in Los Angeles at the K-Rock. What is it? It's something about April Fool's. April Foolishness Show. It's the April Foolishness Show at the Gibson Amphitheater. It's me, Rob Delaney, Brad the Midget, Doug Benson, Jay Moore, and Bill Burr. Gigantic show, all for charity. So if you're in L.A., that's the big one to go to. Then San Diego at the American Comedy Company, April 11th through the 13th. Seattle at the Parlor, April 20th at 4:20 p.m. Followed by Olympia, Washington at 8 p.m. at the Urban Onion. It's a benefit for a, what's it called, for a dispensary. Then I'm in Austin at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which any comedy nerd would be remiss not to go check it out. It's going to be awesome. There's so many great comics that are there. It was so much fun last year. It's just a great, like, comedians festival. So much fun. And I'm doing two storyteller shows there on Friday at midnight and on Saturday night at midnight. I know Dom Herrera is probably going to do the Saturday night at midnight one. I haven't checked anybody out. I think what we're going to do is drugs as a topic the first night. This is not happening storyteller show series I do in LA. So it's going to be drugs the first night, and the second night, either family or the road, maybe heartbreak. I'll see what Dom has. But he said he would do it already. And then I'll ask Bill for Friday night, Bill Burr, and a few other people. And I'm taping one. We're taping one for Comedy Central Digital at, I believe, Cheetah's in Hollywood on Hollywood Boulevard and Vine. We're going to redo the room a little bit, and Joey Diaz will do it. We're going to tape two shows for Comedy Central Digital. It'll be sometime, probably the first week of April, but I'll give you guys updates. May, I got nothing, I guess. Oh, Stand Up Live, May 9th. I know I'm forgetting dates, but, you know, whatever. And then I just scheduled, I have Winnipeg, June 6th, 7th, and 8th, or 7th, 8th, and 9th, one of those. And I just scheduled Toronto, a bunch of stuff, Underground Comedy Club, which is Clandestiny, which is that pot room, my favorite, one of my top five rooms in the world to play. I'll be doing that a few shows, and I'll be hitting London and Hamilton. So it's, I think, the week before Winnipeg, but nothing's finalized yet. And I'm trying to work out a way to go back to Ottawa for Blues Fest. We'll see. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. How about that? I don't know what else to say. Oh, I do know one thing. This movie I'm in is coming out on Friday. The movie is called Inappropriate Comedy. It's a sketch movie. If you guys remember Kentucky Fried Movie, if you don't remember Kentucky Fried Movie, go check out Kentucky Fried Movie. I fucking loved the shit out of it when I was little. Had a bunch of stars in it. It was a sketch movie. It's a bunch of different sketches unrelated to each other. That and Amazon Women on the Moon. I think they're made by the same people, but man, they were funny movies. So this is kind of like that. It's a sketch movie. It's lots of different things. And for this movie that I am in, I am doing new Amazing Racist videos. If you don't know what The Amazing Racist is, look up The Amazing Racist on YouTube or on LiveLeak. They have better ones. Or no, go to my website. It has all the videos there in the video section. You can play them all. Because one of them, the Mexican one, I think YouTube won't allow it to be played because they have a standard of they have standards that are no longer accepted by any human being normal in America, only the Christians and YouTube. So, yeah, look at it on my website in the video section. But if you don't know, if you do, by the way, if you're going to look at it, close the door. If you're at work, fucking lock the door. Too many people have gotten fired for watching these things at work. And don't forward it to anybody on your work email because you'll get in trouble for that too. So these are new Amazing Racist videos. It's called Inappropriate Comedy. I don't know what the rest of the movie, I don't know the other sketches. I do know Adrian Brody's in it and Lindsay Lohan and who else? Michelle Rodriguez and Rob Schneider. I haven't seen any of their sketches, but how am I in a movie with fucking Adrian Brody? Oscar winner Adrian Brody. So weird. So it's coming out Friday. All right. I think I'm going to Toronto on Thursday morning to do press and then heading straight there, straight to Vancouver from there. So we'll see. Maybe Wednesday night. Maybe I'll stop by the Pot Room Wednesday night. Oh, that could be interesting. All right, you guys, let's start the episode. So, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank episode. Oh, Shroomfest. I forgot to say Shroomfest. If you guys have never done Shroomfest before, time to participate. It's June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The way you participate is you do mushrooms. It happens all over the world. It's called Shroomfest, and it's an international mushroom festival, and people all over the world are doing mushrooms. If you want to know how to do mushrooms properly, search Ari Shaffir Mushroom Primer, and I have written a very all-encompassing article, piece, on how to do mushrooms. The effects, where to find it, how much, what to worry about, what not to worry about. Go look up for Ari Shaffir's Shroomfest Primer, and it's there. So that's June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Anytime over those days, fucking do some mushrooms. Take part. So here we go. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 107, Frenchie Le Poupou, with Mike Ward.
Well, and then we'll cover some stuff.
Okay.
I'll do introductions later. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks. How long did it take you to get here?
It took me like 45 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
No problem.
What, do you have to take public transportation?
No. I live far. Oh, I live far.
It's that far away?
Well, it wasn't that far. It just took me a while to, like, I knew where the hotel was, but I wasn't sure exactly, so I took the wrong street and just drove around for a while.
There's always construction over there.
Yeah, there's construction everywhere, and there's always protesters in Montreal, so
yeah. Were there protesters today?
Not today. There were some last night, though.
Really?
Yeah.
What are they protesting? Is it for the students still?
No, this time it was for against police brutality.
That seems fair.
Yeah. No, it's super, like, but the, yeah, it's, there's, it, yeah, it's a super good cause,
uh-huh.
But they're just, they're, I'm for the protesters, but whenever I'm in my car, I fucking hate them.
Yeah, and you're against them. Yeah. That's why I am, too.
Yeah. I'm like, yes, fight the power and fight the good fight.
We're fighting
fuck
over there.
The man,
on
but
that street.
Get the fuck out of my way. Yeah.
Man, over the summer, they were shutting down everything with those student protests.
Yeah.
They would just choose a street and they'd be like, we're shutting you down.
Yeah.
It was just all, man, it was cool.
Yeah. It was weird. Last winter, we did a show, Comics in Montreal did a show for the protesters, and we raised like $100,000 for them, and we gave it to them, and they refused our money.
What?
Yeah, because they were like, you make offensive jokes, and you support homophobia and racism, and we're like, what the fuck? I'm not racist. It's, I'm not homophobic.
Here's what I understand. You don't support it. You just call to a fact that it's there. Yeah. You're like, I know that it exists, so I'm going to make jokes about it.
Yeah, it was funny though. There were protesters outside with like jokes on like cardboard signs, uh-huh. And I had a friend that was taking pictures, and it was the funniest thing seeing these like angry women with like jokes, and they were good jokes. Like,
really? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was my screensaver for like about 4 months. Just angry women with my jokes.
It turns down money, $100,000.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wow,
fucking crazy.
Students, yeah. No one's as like down for the cause as students. They just care so much more.
Yeah.
I used to make me really mad in college when I saw people like taking up the cause of something. I'm like, you're not going to care in like 2 years.
Mm. I didn't even used to, like, that's what I find like noble about the kids, like this generation. My generation, we didn't give a fuck. I remember I was like, whenever something bad had happened, we'd be like, what you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I find people before us were, like, there were a lot of protesters, and now there are a lot of protesters, but, like, my generation.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
Yeah, me too. I feel like the same thing. Like, all I had for a cause was, like, recycling a little bit, but most of us were like, man, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. Yeah, I always felt like, gypped, that's the wrong word, but, like, because, you know, my parents had the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And then we have like nothing we have compares to that, or you know, stay out of Vietnam.
We just had the sort of the drugs, but no cause. Like they had drugs and a cause, but we just got stoned.
Yeah, we just had the drugs. The way nicer drugs. We knew more about it.
Yeah.
Less people were dying of it. Do you know anybody that died off drugs?
I knew a guy that got stone and he died, but it wasn't his fault. He was with a guy that was drinking, and the guy drove drunk and hit like something, and the guy died. So that's like a weird. It's not really a drug death, but he was stoned.
Alcohol death, but he was stoned when it happened. That means he probably just didn't hurt as much.
Yeah,
he was like, this sucks. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I have a cousin that had he overdosed on acid, and he's really? kind of retarded now.
I've always been so I got stuck that way.
Yeah, he's
that's the big fear. That's what's going
to
happen.
And it's weird cuz he's like 6'5" and he's like 350 pounds, but you talk to him and he sounds like a little kid. Like he doesn't say my mom, he says my mummy. He says my mummy, and you're like, "Jesus fuck, you're like 40 and you call her mummy."
And he's just stuck that way.
Yeah.
And it was cuz of an overdose of acid.
Yeah.
So it's like he's on acid all the time?
No, he's just, he turned into a little kid. Like, he turned into a dumb little kid. Like, he's a...
You think that was from one big time of doing acid, or just too much, like, again and again and again?
I think it was just one big time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He was like, his mom was weird, though. He's from Arizona, and like, not that all people in Arizona are weird, but his mom was like a biker chick, and she used to make him smoke pot when he was like 4 or 5 years old just to make her friends laugh. So he's like, he was like a fucked up little kid.
Such irresponsible parenting.
She's a horrible lady.
I love stories like that so much, where every time my friends tell me like, oh, if you have a kid, it'll change your life, you'll be such a better person, and I'm like, no, I've seen things. It's not 100%.
Yeah, no, some people are, they have worse. Kids, they're dicks anyway.
Baby shakers, who shakes babies? That's like, those are parents, right? Yeah. Or baby says, I could totally see shaking a baby. They wouldn't be stop crying. Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have no kids.
Oh,
no
good.
Kids. I was going to adopt a kid, and then I realized I don't like kids.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my wife, like, I've been married for, like, 12 years, and I thought my wife wanted kids, and she thought I wanted kids. And so we sort of went through the adoption process, and then, like, right before we got a kid, I was like, I don't want a kid. And so.
And she agreed with you?
Yeah. She was like, fuck, okay. I thought it was just me.
So, wow, yeah, I don't want kids either.
Yeah.
How come you weren't going to try to have, like, plant one?
I don't think I can have kids, and I know she can't.
Why?
She went to see a doctor, and the doctor was explaining, and I did a stupid joke, like, the doctor was asking us, do you use a condom and blah, blah. And I told the doctor, I said, no, we don't use a condom, and I don't always come on her face. And I figured he'd laugh, but he wrote that shit down.
Don't always
And
come
I was like, don't write that down. So it's in my file somewhere, or in my wife's file, that I come on her face, and that's why she can't have kids.
That's the fear. That's why she can't have kids?
Yeah.
Because you've done it on the face too much?
But I think, like, my old girlfriend, we were together for, like, 4 years, never used a condom, and... The day she broke up with me. Like a month later, she was already pregnant by somebody else. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm pretty sure.
So you think you can't have
it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm shooting blanks.
I haven't gotten a girl pregnant in like 5-6 years.
Okay.
And maybe 7 years. And I'm starting to hope that I can't get anyone pregnant. I'm okay. Like, maybe because of the pot use. Maybe. Maybe it's
gotten good.
Does
pot use affect that, though, or no?
I've heard that.
Really?
I've heard it, like, I don't know for sure, but that's one of the things that, like, is associated with it.
Okay.
Lowers sperm count.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's just an urban legend or not.
I think I can't have kids because when I was 18 or 19, I'd put Neat, you know, the stuff to hair removal cream on my nuts.
Uh-huh.
And,
call it Nair.
I think that kind of killed
no way.
Because I like on the bottle or on the thing it was written, don't put near your genitals.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, ah. That they probably mean like the dick, but the balls are probably okay.
So you put them right on there?
Yeah, and it worked really well.
Did it hurt?
No, not at all. And the first time I used it, it was perfect, but you have to time it like 5 minutes and wash it off.
Because then it starts to hurt?
Yeah, and the first time I did it, timed it, everything was good. Second, and like after 4 or 5 times, I just sort of left it on too long,
uh-huh.
and my nuts got like really big for like over a month. They were like
what?
Fucking like almost like oranges. They were fucking huge. And but I didn't want to go to a doctor because I felt like a fucking idiot. You know, it's written on the bottle, don't put on your nuts.
They got as big as oranges?
Yeah, well, maybe not as big as oranges, but like apples.
Okay.
Enough that they weren't wrinkly anymore.
Yeah.
So
they smoothed out from being so big.
A really nice smooth balls.
It's like pulling a bulldog's like skin back, seeing a different face.
So I'm pretty sure that's why I can't have kids. Like,
oh wow.
Yeah. And I've never like I remember when the internet first came out, I was like, finally, I'm going to be able to ask a doctor.
To find out.
But I never asked a doctor.
You never even went and said, hey, this happened to me. What
no,
do you think?
No, because I felt stupid.
That's funny. People don't like to go to doctors.
Yeah.
My friend had big nuts, but then he had ball cancer.
Okay. Oh, really?
He'd have a ball taken out.
Okay.
But that's probably, yours went down again.
Yeah, mine are, yeah. Like, if they were still swollen, like 18 years later, yeah, I'd go and see a doctor.
Maybe at that point, you're like, I don't know, it's fine. Whatever happens would have happened already.
No, but I was afraid to for ball cancer for the longest time because of that. And then for some reason, I'd heard the ball cancer was dangerous in your 20s.
Uh-huh.
And oh, really? But still dangerous like in your 30s or 40s. But as soon as I hit 30, I was like, I'm safe. No one gets ball cancer
I'm
in
away
the 30s.
From the danger zone.
Which is stupid. Like, but
I've started to think more and more recently that like, having kids of your own is almost irresponsible compared to adopting.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you want kids of your own? Why? What are they? They're not your own. We're so past that time.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I want my genes. Like, what are you talking about? We don't live in the Middle Ages. What are you talking about? People are people. My friend had a kid and I wanted him to adopt. He's like, same thing. It's like, no, it's important that it comes from me. I'm like, your father fucking abandoned you. You come from bad genes.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want that to continue? Random genes would be better.
My manager had a kid, and it was weird. He had a kid last year, and he doesn't get along well with his father, and he wanted to give his kid his girlfriend's last name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To kill his dad's last name?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, for some reason, solid move. Yeah, I was like, in a way, I respected that, but in a way, I was like, you are such a woman.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and
that.
We were just, we fucking...
You have to think she talked him into it, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was like,
decided.
Fuck, get some balls. And, but
get
yeah.
some giant orange balls. It'd be great if they actually became the color orange, too.
Yeah, no, they stayed sort of the same.
Do they hurt?
They just felt full. And they like when you touch them, they were like sort of filled with water. It felt like water.
Yeah,
it was weird. I don't think it hurt.
Yeah, do you have pictures of them?
No,
oh,
no. This was before like a
cell phone cam.
Yeah, and I think I had a Polaroid, but I'm not even sure. But I didn't want to take a picture and go to the like. The pharmacy, can you?
With this, hold on, like shake it. Like, hold on, it'll be ready in a second. Dude, I was touching these habanero peppers for a while when I was in Israel.
Okay.
And then I went to the bathroom. And so I was touching my dick and my balls a little bit. And then, you know, I started walking back to my dorm room from the bathroom. And I got halfway there and it started like getting hotter and hotter. And then I was like, oh, fuck. And then it starts like super painful. And I just run to the shower and like pull my pants around my ankles and just started showering off. Just started getting soap and water. It hurts so bad.
Did the soap and water work? Or?
Sort of, like a little bit.
Okay.
But like as soon as you like, it just sort of spread it around a little bit too.
Okay.
Eventually it got it. It just sort of relieved it. The cool of the water relieved it a little bit. But it was like 35, 40 minutes of just super pain.
Shit.
Yeah, if you get that stuff on your fingers, are used to dealing with stuff. But you ever like touch your eyes where your eyes aren't used to getting hot stuff on it?
Yeah. I'm super nervous. Whenever I touch anything hot, like I'm afraid I won't pee for like 4 hours just
because
to make
sure. Scared. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird that I put, you know, nair or neat on my nuts, but I won't eat a pepper.
I was taking out habanero peppers from habaneros peppers. I was taking out the seeds.
Okay.
And they, in Israel, they have these giant sunflower seeds like that big. And I would crack them open a little bit and then put just so like you can let go and let it sort of seal back up again. So you're just using a pressure. And I would take one seed. One habanero seed and put it in there.
Okay.
And close it up. And then when people would take my sunflower seeds without asking permission, I would let them take the spicy ones. And then they would eat it. And it's like, what is this? But if they asked permission, I would give them only the good peppers, only the good seeds without the stuff in it.
When you were in Israel, did you do shows there? Or?
No, before I was a comedian. I was just a super Orthodox religious Jew.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you were super religious?
Yeah, I was in a yeshiva there.
Shit, you don't look religious. You don't seem religious.
I just know about it. I came back and like within like a few months I lost all my religion.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You're like, it's weird going to Israel to lose your religion.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't lose it there. I gained it harder there.
Okay.
For 2 years I lived there. Were you religious?
No.
Never.
No. I used to be sort of, I don't know, I guess agnostic. Now I'm just atheist. Now I don't.
Yeah, I started agnostic too.
Yeah.
I started being like, well, out of respect, let me just say I don't really know.
Yeah.
But then the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, there's nothing else in my life that I'll say like, well, who knows? I'm like, is there proof for it or not?
Yeah.
If there's no proof for it, then it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I always compare it to bears talking. Like that Mike Wilmot bit.
Okay.
You know, he's like, how do you know bears don't talk when they're alone? Maybe they all talk to each other. But it's like, is there any proof for that?
Yeah.
Then stop it. Then stop. So yeah, I've become sort of atheist. Mm-hmm. So you, here's what I think is so fucking fascinating about you. When I met you at the Nasty Show a couple years ago, was that when it was?
Yeah.
Almost 2 years ago? Yeah. You're a French comedian.
Yeah.
And you, your first language is French?
It's kind of both.
Okay.
Like my dad's English, my mom was French.
Okay.
So, but I've been working, I started out in English like in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I just started working in French because everyone in Montreal is pretty much French and it was easier to get work in French.
Uh-huh. And Quebec City is all French.
Yeah, and Quebec City, like the whole province of Quebec is all French except for Montreal, which is kind of both. So I've been working in French pretty much the last 20 years.
And you've made a solid career out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, like, comedy is pretty popular here. Like, you can make a good living just in Quebec.
Just in Quebec? Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember there was some people that came, and they spoke accented English. I mean, they're definitely French people, but they could speak English okay. And we don't, in America, we don't really know almost any of, like, the English comedians. Definitely none of the French comedians.
Yeah.
Like, one or two, if we happen to have heard of them. But, like, really, we don't get any of them. Definitely not the French-Canadian ones.
Yeah.
And I remember these two girls and a guy came by, and they're like, wait, Mike Ward is playing here? And we're like, yeah, he's one of the comedians on the Nasty Show. And they're like, so there's other people playing with him? And we're like, yeah. They're like, she was like, why? I was like, what? How big is Mike Ward?
I remember last summer at the festival, Howie Mandel's manager was like, he came up to me and he goes, can you just tell these girls you know me?
Really?
Yeah. So he was using me to get laid.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So you had this career in French comedy.
Yeah. It's weird too because like Americans and even before I started doing comedy in French, because there's like French Canadian comics kind of were like a bad version of British comics or American comics. We're not like like the French comics are fucking horrible, and they juggle and do, you know, weird characters mm-hmm. and noises. Whereas like what I do is pretty much, you know, regular stand up, right? You know, I don't have, you know, I don't do voices or noises or
yeah, it's really weird French comedy.
Yeah,
Kurt Metzger always talks about it. It's like they'll blow up a giant balloon and then step inside of it and then go, oh, la, oui, oh, la, la. And that's like it.
Yeah. It was when first time I played in France, like I thought they were just bad when they came here. But I figured when they're in their own country, people must get it and they must get it. And it was just horrible. They were horrible. I was looking at them and I didn't get it. It was really bad.
So you go to France a lot to play?
No, not that often. I've been like 3-4 times.
Okay.
Last time, actually now, when I go, I perform in English when I
you
go
do.
To France. Yeah, because they don't understand my accent, my French accent.
Oh, really?
So it's easier just to...
Is French Canadian like a bastard French?
Yeah, it's kind of like It's the same difference between, let's say, like American and Australian.
Okay. Oh, like it's, accent-wise.
It's the same tough. Words, but it's just different.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, where else can you play in French?
Haiti, yeah.
Have you played there?
No, I was booked during the holidays and the show got canceled.
Why? But, extreme poverty?
No, it was weird because I was like, whenever I perform in French countries, for some reason, I like performing in English.
Yeah.
And, I got booked over there and they wanted to make a TV special out of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to perform in a country where I'm not sure people will understand me. And I don't want this shit on TV for like 3 or 4 years. So I just canceled it.
Oh. Yeah, Jason Rouse performed in Russia.
Okay. Oh, really?
They were all stone faced. But it was for TV in Russia.
Okay, that's
cool. He goes, luckily no one I know will ever see it, but he goes, there's something out there, some shitty tape of
but
me.
But now with YouTube.
Do you want a Pellegrino or some booze?
Sure. Can I get a beer?
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of the best boozers I know. That's always how I know the Montreal Comedy Festival is over, is when I see Stella.
Does that work? Cool. Stella's good.
That's always how I know the festival's over, is when I see you stumbling home from the final party at like 4 or 5 a.m. I might be going to like go to get one last smoke meat, and I see you and you're always like so smiley.
I have like 4 pictures with you that I don't remember taking from on the street.
Those are cool times. Man, that festival's so much fun. It's just a giant party.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Can you grab that? Oh, nice. I'm going to smoke some weed while we do this.
Okay.
That's my booze. I always feel weird smoking pot at nice hotels. You know? Like I'm imposing on them, on their richness. Wait, what was I going to say about French comedy? Oh, well, what you told me once was that the French, I don't know if it's a French-Canadian comics or French-French comics, but they're just all like... hacks.
Yeah, it's in France. Maybe not the new generation, but like the older generation of comics, you'd see them and they wouldn't just steal like one joke. They'd steal a whole act.
You'd see a
comic doing like an hour of Bill Cosby.
Just straight, like, he'll be the Bill Cosby comic.
And there's a guy called Gad Elmaleh that was...
Gad Elmaleh, yeah. That's one of the ones I've heard of.
He was actually... he was kind of friends with Seinfeld. He's, like, really big in France. And they were doing a special for him on TV, and they invited Seinfeld. And Seinfeld discovered on air that Gad Elmaleh was stealing his shit. Like, they showed...
What?
Seinfeld came in, talked, blah, 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 and then they showed Gad Elmaleh doing, I don't know if you remember, Seinfeld had a bit about the flight attendants, and he'd like point to the exits and blah, blah, blah. I forget what the bit was, but anyway, Gad Elmaleh did the exact same bit, and if you're stealing a joke.
In front of Seinfeld?
Yeah, if you're stealing a joke, like a joke, you can't tell the difference if you can't understand the language. But since he was doing all the signs, and Seinfeld...
And so Seinfeld was like, wait a minute, that looks familiar as shit.
Yeah, so Seinfeld actually like was... I don't know if he was a real friend, but he sued him over the joke.
Really?
Yeah. And there was a guy too...
Wow.
a guy named Arthur that stole Craig Ferguson's and everything. Like, it's the same. He does the same talk show, and it's the same. He does the same, pretty much the same theme song, the same opening, the
just
whole
copies
thing.
Copies it all.
Copies everything.
What do they figure? Like, no, it's a whole different language, a whole different country that nobody's going to know.
Like, there was, I met this old comic, like in Quebec, that's how it was, like in the, like maybe 20, 30 years ago. And I knew a guy, like, I met this old comic, and he told me what he used to do, like in the 50s. He'd drive down to the Catskills, see a couple of shows. And then he'd go to the hotel and just write what he remembered, come back, and that's what he'd do for, like, the next couple of years.
Wow, that was his living.
Yeah.
God, that's so fucking interesting.
That's the cool thing about the internet now is people that do shit like that.
You can compare and stuff.
Yeah, you find out.
Because before this, you would have to know, well, let's say it wasn't even French, let's say it was English to English. You would have to know the whole first person stuff and see the second person stuff. And you have to remember the first person stuff. Like, you probably have to have a VHS tape of it somewhere of like a Cosby routine.
Yeah.
And then be able to compare it. Now it's just like click again.
But now, people, like, there was a guy when I was in France, there was this comic that was, he stole everything. And when he saw me, I was just doing like a open mic night because I was doing a TV thing in France and I wanted to see what a French guy was like.
Yeah.
So I did this open mic night. And I saw him leaving as I was getting there. And when he saw me, he came back in, and he was taking notes. I was on stage, and he was taking notes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They said Mencia used to do that. He used to do at the open mic night, would just sit in the back with a notebook and just like pick off ideas.
Shit.
Yeah, especially with like new comics where they might have a good idea, but they don't know how to flesh it out right.
That's fucking horrible.
Like, oh, cool. I know where to go with
stealing,
that.
Stealing from a new
from
comic.
New people.
What a fucking asshole.
They have nothing, and you're taking what little they have.
Yeah, that's what a fucking dick.
Wow, so they all just do that.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Well, I think the old generation all did that.
That was just like standard. It sort of was here too, I think. Well, not here. America, I mean.
Yeah. There was one guy. What's weird though, in France, like there was a, like now the new generation, they sort of found out that, you know, you don't write a show. You write joke by joke.
Oh, right. You don't have to write an entire hour at once.
But in France, like a lot of them, even still now, like there was a guy, I have a friend that he's a comic in Montreal. And he had the French kid that wrote asking him on Facebook, how do I do comedy? And then he told him, look, just try to get 3 minutes and then build your 3 minutes into five and your five into seven into 15, whatever. And he goes, okay, perfect. And then a week later, the kid wrote back and he said, hey, I'm starting my one-man show next week. And so the kid had written an hour and a half of material in 1 week. So it must just be fucking horrible. And then
on his own? No, he just stole all of it.
I don't know. I have no idea. But they're like, when I did the open mic night, they had a mic on stage, but no one used it. They'd get on stage. The only person that used it was the guy that'd say, tonight, blah, 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 here's your host. And then the host would get on stage, move the mic stand over, and then just start talking.
Emote? They just like talk loud?
Yeah, and it's a small room. I asked the guy, I was like, why aren't you using the mic? He goes, it's a small room. They hear me. And I was like, still, you know, mic gives you power over a crowd. And he goes, no, but I can move both hands. I was like, who cares? Anyway, so they all did that. Sense. I got on stage and used the mic, and I was the first guy using the mic, and they were looking at me like I just discovered fire. Like, they were like, holy fuck,
what's he doing?
He is so loud.
Oh, really?
And
a mic does give you power.
Yeah.
Without that, who's going to listen to you?
Yeah. You ever perform in Ireland?
No. I've wanted to go over to the UK at some point for a while. Have you?
Yeah. There's a club in Dublin that there's no mic.
And there's no mic at all.
No, and like I found out when I was on stage.
Really?
Yeah.
You went up there and they're like, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't even tell you.
They didn't tell me.
You got a lighter? You smoke still?
No, I don't smoke anymore.
I have one somewhere around here. So they just don't even do it?
No, like I got there.
Boom.
And the club is called the International, and it's about as big as your hotel room, and they fit like 100 people. And
really?
People are sitting on stage. And I asked the guy, I go, like,
so you really don't need a mic?
No, I go, when do you want me here? And he goes, the show's at 9. And he goes, you'll be on like at 9:30. And I said, okay, I'll be here at 9. He goes, no, just get here for 9:30. and wait in the street. And when it's your turn, I'll go get you in the street.
Because there's
no
room.
There's no
room.
So I was waiting in the street, like at 9:30. He came out. He goes, okay, you're up next.
Wow.
So I walked in, and then I got in, and I realized, okay, there's no mic, and there's people sitting on stage.
You can't even see what the setup is like.
Yeah, and it's weird, because when I do comedy, like I talk over my laughs to get like my rhythm going.
Yeah.
But now, like... That night, like half my jokes, they wouldn't hear the first half of my joke because they were laughing, and I don't speak that loud.
Wow. And you can't talk over them with a mic. You can't just bring it close to your face.
Yeah. So it was fun though.
Where was that, in Ireland?
Yeah.
I've always heard this, just like Ireland and England in general, just like such awesome sick crowds.
Yeah, England was really, really, really cool. Except I had one show. I did a show that I had a joke about a friend in a wheelchair, and a woman started yelling that I was racist when I was on stage, and it just
about
threw
someone
me
in a wheelchair.
Off. Yeah, and I was like, I was on stage thinking, what the racist? Why? And I was trying to figure out why she thought I was being racist, and I found out when I got off stage because there was a guy at the table next to her that was he was black and he was in a wheelchair, and she thought I was doing jokes about him. And she thought I was, like, afraid to do black jokes, so I was doing wheelchair jokes.
These motherfucking wheelchair people. Yeah. Always beating up and leaving their wives.
Yeah. Yeah, all my wheelchair jokes were about eating fried chicken.
How long were you... Yeah. How long were you into comedy at that point?
I was actually, like, I was just starting back up in English. So, like, okay. I've been doing comedy forever, but in English, I was brand new. And it was just weird.
So whenever I had a benefit once in New York, and I was like 5 years in, just getting okay, just starting to get okay, and somebody, like, I said some Palestinian joke, and somebody just like, that's raw, it just started heckling, and I didn't know how to handle it.
Okay,
it was hard enough to deal with hecklers, but I was like, is this some benefit? Can I go after this guy? I don't know what the protocol is. Man, I remember those things, and just like, it sucks. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I did the first time my dad ever saw me on stage, I was hosting a show in Quebec City, and there's no one in Quebec City speaks English except for like my family, and we're like only a couple thousand. And they were doing an English show in Quebec City. So I was like, okay, I'm going to host it.
So everyone you knew was there.
Yeah, and but the people in Quebec City that speak – no, thanks. Okay. People that speak English are like all in their 80s. They're super old and really conservative. And so I planned out like my cleanest material. And I do my first joke that was really clean at the time. I get on stage, do the first joke, and the woman in the front row goes like, ah. Oh.
What?
After my cleanest joke, she's like, oh, that's wrong. And I was like, holy fuck.
It was a long night.
Every joke I did, it never laughed, and then never got a laugh. Brought the first guy up on stage. I go in the back, and I start telling the other comics, this is a fucking horrible crowd. They're horrible. They're horrible. First guy gets a standing ovation.
So then I go like, horrible crowd.
Back on stage, and the people were like angry that it was me again. And there were these a bunch of older guys were walking around the room asking people to join them to pull me off stage. Like, they went to see my dad. They didn't know he was my dad. They were like, can you come help us pull him off stage? And I was like,
whoa. To your father.
Yeah, yeah. My dad was like, that's so
my son's a failure.
Yeah, my son,
God, it's so shitty when you start and people you know want to see you, and you're like, you feel pretty good, but you're just not good.
I used to always suck when family saw me. The first 5 years, like, I'd do well, and I'd go someplace and go really well. As soon as I had someone that knew me from when I was little, I was just always horrible.
Why? Would you get nervous?
I think I'd get overconfident, but like fake confident, you know, beginner confident. So I'd want to show them, look, I'm going to show you how fucking solid I am. And I just try to deal with hecklers that even if I didn't have a heckler, I'd just insult people. Uh-huh. And then
you forced it.
And then my friends and family were like, Jesus, you're just a horrible comic.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like you have moments here or there where you're like, you're just like the best in the world. Like, you're just as good as them. But it's not consistent enough.
Yeah.
You know? You ever play golf?
No.
Well, sometimes when you play golf, you can hit like a 30-foot putt. You hit one, and you're like, no golfer, no, not the best golfer in the world could do better than that. You know what I mean? I match them, if not beat, whoever in the world. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, no, they're crushing me.
Yeah.
That's how it is when you start. Fuck, what were you going to say?
Yeah, there was a comic who once told me when I was starting out that like the first 500 shows don't count. And that was so true for me. Even it took me like probably 1,000 times on stage. Like the first 200 shows, I couldn't even look at the audience. So I just...
Yeah. I did too. My head was just straight down.
And people would tell me, like, I'd get off stage, they'd go, I like that character you do. And I was like, what character? They thought I was like just doing a character. And I was like, that's not a character. And they were like, you don't look at the audience. I was like, yes, I look at the audience. And then the first time I saw myself on TV, I was like, holy fuck, I don't look at the audience.
Yeah. This guy told me, Dave Pierre, some black comic, he was like, dude, you're not looking at them. And I was like, he's like, no, you're not. He's like, look up. So I remember looking up, but looking like above all their heads, like refusing to look at them at all, like looking way up and just looking up at this exit sign, just staring at this exit sign. And he goes, I was like, better, right? He goes, no, what the fuck was that? It looked like you were looking at the sky. And I'm like, well, who should I look at? I'm like, the people you're talking to. Look at the people you're talking to. I was like, oh.
That's a funny question. That like,
so uncomfortable.
New comic asks that, like, who do I look at? Who the fuck do you think you look at? If you're talking to someone, look at them.
It's so hard to figure that out. Yeah, it just takes a while.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee told me, he goes, you're not a real comic until you've bombed 100 times.
Okay.
And I remember being like 6 months in. So I had bombed plenty of times already, but saying, let's not even count those. And I started this chart of every time I bombed, I would write it down. I like marked out like 1 to 100 in boxes and waited till I get to the end. And the first year was like, looks like 15 times. And the second year was like 12. And it kept going down every year. And then it went like a couple years in between. And when I finally got it, I was like, yeah. Like it didn't matter anymore, but I was so stoked. I still have that. I got to laminate that and put it up or something.
That's funny. On your, I was on your website, do people buy that? Like you're selling you and them to a Clippers game? Have people bought that?
No, someone just bought the me go to a Shabbat dinner with them.
Okay. That's cool though that you're doing that.
Well, these are the people that paid for the special. They were like passive aggressive out now at chill.com. Okay. But they were they said we'd like to do stuff like overpriced stuff, like weirdo things. Like their original plan was like who's that British comic? The humongous one dated Katy Perry.
Russell Brand.
Yeah, and so they had like mock-ups of what someone like that would do when they were like pitching me and Maria Bamford and stuff. And they said, you know, dinner like a lunch with Russell Brand, like you know, $5,000 or something like that. And so like things like that. So yeah, it was go to a Clipper game. Or go root against the Lakers for a Laker game. That's harder tickets to get. Yeah, but the other one is go to a Shabbat dinner with them.
Okay.
$500. And you get the free download as well.
That was Russell Brand. I had the first time I was in London, I'd been doing comedy in English for like 6 months. And I'd just gotten a couple of club dates over there. And he was like really big in England. And the first night I did the show and it went well. So the second night the guy told me, I'll put you on last. And Russell Brand walked in, and he was supposed to do 5 minutes, but he did like an hour.
These guys never do.
And he's like kind of a Robin Williams type. Like he's just, it's not really funny, but it's so fucking over the top.
Well, it's a lot of personality.
Yeah. And he was like from the neighborhood where we were performing. So he had like a bunch of like super local references.
Yeah.
And I was so bad.
Right,
I got
that.
On stage after and I was like, I just fucking died.
Dude, he just saw him at an AA benefit show.
Okay.
And I've seen him at the Comedy Store before and he's been whatever, fine. He's working on stuff. But man, he was so good at this benefit show. It was just like he had all this AA material because he's been sober for 12 years. Okay. When you're talking to your people or where you're from and making local references, nobody, you can't compete with that.
Yeah. Those are fun crowds, like AA crowds or NA crowds.
Well, they've already been through so much shit. Yeah.
They're like party people, but that listen because they're sober.
They've already, they've fucked behind in an alley before. They've done fun things, but they're like, hey, we're cool now. We're regular. They're a lot of fun. They've all just let go. You can't offend them either.
Yeah, if that's what I told them. Cock,
I was like,
for $4,
suck your father's dick to get high. Like,
yeah, I can't.
This isn't gonna little fake racism isn't gonna do anything hard to you.
Fake racism.
It was so much fun. Radford Hall. They do this bit for like once. I've done it twice now. It's so good. Yeah, those shows are great. You know who the worst shows are? Gay shows.
Oh, really?
Gay non-benefit shows. If you go to a gay bar, awful.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate them. Who are your favorite shows and worst shows?
I like black crowds.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you play black crowds?
Not that often, but because there aren't that many black people in Quebec.
Yeah, no, not a lot. Like, or in Quebec, there must be like less in regular Canada, right?
Yeah, Quebec is like Montreal. There's a lot of Arabs, but not a lot of black people. So,
wow, that's a good trade-off.
Yeah, but our Arabs act black.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they're like our Arabs are like black-ish.
What do you mean? In what way?
They're like I don't know. They're they
ghetto like street.
Yeah,
oh wow!
But they're fake street. They're kind of like if I was trying to be ghetto.
Yeah, we have Asians like that a lot in America. Yeah,
our Arabs are M&M basically.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, ew, that's really gross.
No, but yeah. So I like black crowds. I did. I did this show once for. There were these rap awards in Quebec, and I was hosting it. And so the whole crowd was black, and there was this singer called Carl Wolf that he's fucking horrible. He's like a Justin Timberlake, a French Justin Timberlake, and he's big in like Lebanon and a couple places, but nowhere that anyone cares. And anyway, and there were like real rappers there. There was guys from D12 and all that, and he was being
D12 that came out.
He was being a dick. Like I asked him,
who, this Arab guy?
Yeah, I asked him. I go, how do you want me to bring you up? And he goes, tell him I'm the face behind the face. And I was like, what does that mean? I have no idea what that means, so I can't fucking do that. And then someone explains to me that he wrote all this music for like these pop singers. And in Quebec, rappers can't get any airplay on the radio because of all the pop shit. So I just got on stage and I was like, this next guy is the reason why none of you play on the radio. Because he writes all the shit that's on the radio. And I brought him up, and they booed him for like a minute and a half. And he got off stage, and I was super happy. I was like, you fucking asshole.
Face behind the face.
The face. I didn't even know what that meant.
I love when people take themselves too seriously.
Especially, like fucking, like you're Carl Wolf. Like, who the fuck are
you? I saw Brody Stevens do that at the Improv once. He was hosting a show, and he was like, what would you like as your credits? And he gets real serious about that. Like, he's willing to do it. And the guy's like, just tell him I'm a regular at the Comedy Store and the Improv. He goes, are you? Because I'm at the Comedy Store all the time, and I've never seen you there. I'm not going to say it if it's a lie. I won't say it. And the guy's like, Jesus, all right. Well, they'll take him new credits. Wait, so how long did it take you to figure out? And then I want to get back to these fucking French thieves, too. But how long did it take you to figure out like how to do your cadences and stuff differently? In English?
I don't know. What's weird, like when I do my stuff in English, I sound French or almost, I sound almost like old-timey black. Like
you got like a slight accent.
Yeah, when I speak French, I have I have two second languages.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, my material, like when I'm in French, I sound
harsh.
English, and when I'm in English, I sound French.
Oh, really?
And my stuff is like, I'm stories almost. So it's almost like what Richard Pryor used to do or Cosby, but dirtier.
Yeah. Was there any like learning curve? Was it different?
What's weird is like when I first started out in English, I was just taking my French stuff and translating it.
Yeah.
And a lot of jokes that I had that killed in French would just died. In English.
Really?
And a lot. So I'd get like, on stage doing like material that I've been doing for years, and I was always surprised to either get a laugh or not get a laugh, and it was weird.
Was it based on anything? Like types of jokes or?
No, it was just some jokes, and it's weird because my mind kind of works like I think in both languages. So a lot of jokes that I had that I tried in French, it didn't work. It's because it was sort of my English brain that was writing them. So I did those, and those killed. And other jokes, like French people clap a lot. So whenever I'd have a joke that people would clap in French, in English people would just look at me, and the joke sucked.
Why? What was it? Was it just like a witty thing to say without a punchline?
No, it was just if there was a. I don't know. Like oftentimes French people will clap if there's sort of a performance and I don't perform. But if I start yelling or a rant or something, whenever you do a rant in French, people clap. So
yeah, it's in English like that too. If you do like a long list of like memorized things.
But in French, it's quicker. And French people like to clap. For some reason.
Maybe it's just that. Excuse to have a good time.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something like that. That's what I like about black crowds. Black crowds, I find, clap more than white crowds, too.
They're loud.
And the standing ovation. Like, when I did that rap show, I was getting standing ovations after jokes. Like, I'd do a joke and people would stand up, and I was like, that's fucking weird. You're standing up after a joke. Yeah. That's fucking.
They get really into it. If you bomb in front of them, though. You bomb loud.
Like I have a friend that did the Apollo and
whoa, really?
And
who?
A guy called Anthony Kavanaugh.
Okay.
He's a Quebec comic and he was like really big in Quebec, and when he got booked
black
there,
or white?
A black guy.
Okay.
And he got booked there, and the guy asked him, he said, "What do you want? How do you want me to bring you up?" And he goes, "Just tell him I'm big in Montreal." And the guy said, I shouldn't talk about Montreal because if they know you're not from here, they're going to fucking hate you. And he goes, no, just tell them I'm big in Montreal. And so the guy had told him. And he said, this next guy's big in Montreal. And people hated him. He got on stage and they were just judging him and hating him. And then the clown came on stage to sort of, you know.
Yeah, Sandman.
Push him off.
Sandman.
And he fucking, like, he went into a depression to last for like
really?
4 years.
Oh, man.
Because it was his dream, like, as a little kid to perform one day at the Apollo Theater.
He should have taken that guy's advice.
If he had just said.
Oh, he got the Sandman.
Yeah.
That was the funniest. When I watched it, would come on after Saturday Night Live in America on Saturday nights. But it was like you would see somebody doing bad and they'd all start booing or sing bad. And this fucking clown, this black clown would come out with a cane and just hook the guy and take him off. And then he'd get to do a little dance for a minute. That was his like, wow.
That's so fucking cruel.
It's so cruel. It's so clearly like you did the work. We have to cancel you. Get out of here.
That's worse than the gong show. Like that's just.
Yeah. Gong show, like everybody gets the gong. Almost everybody. This is just like.
Yeah, I don't know if you're like that. I love watching comics bomb.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing I like the most.
Yeah.
Especially if a good comic.
A good comic, yeah. Good because comic, then you're like, whatever, he's good. That's okay. Yeah.
Either
it's
a
like
good
having
comic
Jordan throw an airball up.
Or a horrible comic that thinks he's good.
Well, I just
love
like
seeing that.
That it's everything. It's almost it seems impossible to bomb because it's like you prepared a joke. Okay, so if someone prepares a joke, chances are it's going to be funnier than if they don't prepare anything. If they just say something. They're trying to make a joke. They prepared something. And it's not a regular person. It's not your mom who's preparing something. It's someone who fancies himself a funny person. So this is who prepared a joke. Now, you're presenting it not to just some random person. You're presenting it to someone who's going to a comedy club, who wants to go laugh. So you get this extra time to prepare a joke. You're a funny person to a person who was like, yes, I'm going to go laugh right now. And it doesn't get a laugh. It's like, how can that be possible? So it's like, but it happens. But so it's like, I love the cadence of like, you're like, da-da, da-da, da. And then they wait, they pause, and then there should be a laugh, and there's no laugh. And it's like, yes. I love that. Man, and like a full bomb. Ooh. I feel bad for people sometimes. I have to leave the room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If it's people I like.
Okay. I never leave the room. I always just laugh really hard.
Really hard? Yeah. So, no. It's like a mocking laugh.
No, not. It's just I'm really enjoying myself. Like, if I was super rich, I think I'd pay people to just bomb in front of me.
Oh, really?
Like, if I made, like, you know, if I made, like, $20 million a year, I'd keep, like, $2 million to just run a comedy club.
I heard
just to watch people bomb.
I heard Will Ferrell once he got Saturday Night Live and started making some money, he was at the Groundlings. It was like this training. Well, they have it in Toronto, I guess, right? No, that's the other one.
No, they have a Second City in Toronto.
But same sort of shit.
Yeah.
But so he went back and rented out the entire room of the Groundlings and just sat in the middle of the crowd and just do the show for me. And he made them play to nobody, just to him. That'd be pretty fun too. Yeah. Ruin a guy's set just by buying all the tickets.
Mm. And see, that's my dream, and now you told me Will Ferrell, and it sounded like a dick move. I was like, that's
I think he was friends with all those guys though. I think he was in the troupe with them like two years before.
That's even
shittier?
Yeah, because you're showing them, I fucking made it. I can buy all you fucking losers now.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That would be a dick move. So that's funny. That's weird about the French thing. I like that. You picked up another, like... So you just double your audience after that?
Yeah, well, pretty much. But what's weird, though, in, Canadian crowds, if you're not big in another country, they don't really care about you.
Yeah, it's weird that way. They're like, they're homers. They love Canadians. But only Canadians have become big elsewhere.
Like, we're super proud of Jim Carrey. But before Jim Carrey moved to L.A., we didn't give a fuck about Jim Carrey.
Like, he's just some Canadian.
Yeah. And last year, like, when I did the JFL XXX thing, like the nasty show for the Canadian HBO, they brought me up. They said, this next guy's from Montreal, blah, blah, blah. Mike Ward. And as soon as they said Montreal, I saw people getting up. To really? Let go of the bathroom. I was like, you fucking assholes.
He's like, yeah, he's here all the time. Yeah.
You really? Fucking dicks. Like, I'm on TV.
Hold on. This guy's big in Montreal, doesn't work as a credit in New York or in Montreal?
Yeah, no. Being big in Montreal works in Quebec City.
Right.
Or some little...
Somewhere that looks up to Montreal. Yeah,
Halifax or... if you're playing Moncton.
Where else can you play as a French comic? Outside
comic,
of Quebec?
New Brunswick.
Has some.
And Ontario. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the other places, the redneck provinces, they don't have any French speakers,
no,
really.
No, no. BC, too, you can play.
Really?
Like, I played at the Olympics in 2010.
You played at the Olympics?
Yeah. I did.
Did you medal in dick jokes?
Yeah, I did. It was weird because it was like 5,000 people. And
really?
Like, yeah. And it was fun.
How many of those people were homeless? None. Because they put them on the other side of town.
It was weird, though. They hit all the homeless
people. They hit
people.
Them all, yeah. Right?
And they told me, like, Vancouver is the scariest homeless you've ever fucking seen in your life.
You walk down that street and you're like, it really is like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and the taxi driver told me during the day, he said, they hit all the homeless in Calgary.
And they pushed him to Calgary?
Yeah, the cops drove by in, like, school buses, and anyone that looked homeless or, like, prostitute, they just... shipped them to Calgary.
Wow.
And but he said
they want all those TV people there seeing a beautiful
city. Said but you got to be nervous about the ones they didn't catch, because they didn't catch them because they're kind of
they're
shifty.
Wily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So at night we got lost, and I was wandering the streets like at 4 a.m. and everyone was scary. Like I was trying to find my hotel, and I couldn't find the hotel, and I was trying to go into stores just to use their phone because I'd lost my cell phone for some reason, and no one let me use their phone. And we were trying to stop cabs, and cabs
wouldn't stop for you.
They were running red lights.
What,
like,
yeah,
what we had to do.
It's that bad, right there.
Yeah,
it's not that far away from the pretty good part of town.
No, it was like one block.
Yeah,
we were scared shitless, and then we ended up like in a good part of town like 3 minutes later.
Yeah.
And it was weird.
It's really like you round the corner, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck. But like, you don't, you know, anyway, like, I don't think like hard enough to be like, stop right now and turn around.
Yeah.
It always takes me like till I'm most of the way through that block before I realize like, oh, I shouldn't have even come down here. But I'm like, now they're behind me and in front of me.
There was this weird little prostitute that we were walking, and she came up to me, and she was like, you gotta leave, you gotta leave, turn around, you gotta leave. And so I was like, fuck, I gotta leave. So I turned around, and then I was walking, and I was like, she might have just told me that because there's a guy waiting for me. So I turned back around, and then I took another street, and she was on that street again, and she was like, you gotta turn around. And I was like, fuck this.
Where are you coming from?
It was weird, too, because when I got back home, I Googled the street I was on, or I YouTubed, and I saw a video about prostitution, and she was on there. And she was just the weirdest looking prostitute.
She was on the video?
She was on the video. She was like this weird, like a crystal meth type of face, you know, with like four teeth and just a horrible.
Has she seen the video?
I don't know. Probably
not. She's like a celebrity among the meth prostitutes.
Yeah, she's a.
Yeah, she's like local legend.
Yeah, she's the Russell Brand of meth prostitutes.
She has four teeth. That's funny. So wait, so how many of those? But getting back to this French thing, the French thieves, it's just accepted.
I think they just see it like here an actor will do Shakespeare or mm-hmm. they just figure, I'll do Seinfeld. I don't think they get what being a comic is. They don't see the difference between a comic and an actor.
Are they like, is it implied that this is not their stuff, the way Shakespeare is?
No. They no.
Like when you do Hamlet, no one's trying to fool anyone in the audience.
Yeah, I wrote this. Yeah. To be or not to be, I wrote this.
But they
this.
Just do it and they don't care. It just
no, it's weird. They're like a, I don't know. It's weird. Like French people in France are like really in their mind the center of the universe. So I think the audience
really
doesn't really care what happens anywhere else. So like the new generation of comics are really ashamed of what the old comics did. But like the people
like the
don't
Germans.
Really care. Yeah.
If you bring up the Holocaust, like a German guy who's like 30, they're all like, "Ah, oh, come on, man, just please, like, can we just not talk about this?"
You ever been to Germany?
Uh-uh.
I did. I was in Germany like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And if you mention Hitler's name, you can do whatever you want anywhere. Like what I was in a cab and I lit
I know
a cigarette.
Hitler.
No, and the guy was like, "You can't smoke here." And I was like, "Okay, you." I was like, "You can kill 6 million Jews, and I can't smoke in your cab." And he shut up. He just so I smoked in the fucking cab, and I was like, "This is awesome."
But it's like, good point. I have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you mind if I take some of these?
Oh no, fuck yeah, go for it. Skittles, sour Skittles are the greatest. Well, they're just on my mind right now. Oh, man, I never thought to do that. Yeah, you should do that all the time.
That's what I loved about Germany. I fucking just made everyone feel like shit.
I think it was Robin Givens. No, it wasn't Robin Givens. Who's this? Who's the black female comedian? She hosted Comic View 1 year. Was it something Givens? Who's Robin Givens? Was she married to Tyson? Who cares?
Okay,
anyway,
yeah.
Was that who it was? Okay. It wasn't her. But anyway, she said that black people just claim racism to see how much free shit they can get.
Okay.
It's like same sort of thing where like Germany, where they're just like racist and people don't back down. They're like, all right, whatever. Wasn't really racist. Yeah, that's a good idea. Go to Germany and just claim anti-Semitism left and right. They would have nothing to say. Yeah, I can't walk in the lawn. Oh, really? It's okay. This lawn is fertilized with my father. Wow, so they just steal it. Yeah, I guess so. I guess if that's the culture, it's weird.
Yeah.
But they all take one guy's stuff, so they don't like mix and match.
It's but the ones I've seen do that. Like, there was one guy, I think I told you this, but there was a first time I went to play in France.
I have Rolos, too, if you want Rolos.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Cool. There was a... I had a friend, and I was like, I don't know if they're going to laugh at my shit in France. And he was like, I was in France last month, and they laugh at your shit already. Like, there was one guy that was just doing my stuff.
Really?
So, yeah. He was taking, like, he had two or three bits that I did that I guess he got off YouTube or something.
Did you find they were, like, at all, like, personal bits? Sometimes when I see my stuff, I'm like trying to ask myself, like, wait, hold on. Is this about an experience that a lot of people had? Is this about a movie?
No, it wasn't the type of shit that you can that like sort of generic jokes. They were like a really stealing a bit. Like they were. Yeah.
My mom and I went to Cape Cod for the summer.
Yeah.
And I met this girl named Sally.
Yeah. Who
was, yeah. It's like.
But the it was weird too because it was all about how the way I talk and the delivery
you
I
had
have.
Your cadence down.
And he was. Talking about that, and I was like, that's fucking shitty. Like, you're not just stealing a joke, you're copying the way I talk. That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Well, he probably talked that way naturally, so he figured I'll just steal that guy's shit, but still.
Oh, so it was a good match for what he was already.
Yeah, so I guess I was a perfect person to steal. But
right, like if I'm going to steal clothes, I'm not going to steal FUBU clothes. I'm going to steal some cool hipster clothes.
Yeah,
something like I'm actually wearing Pride. What else do I want to talk to you about? I don't fucking know. You're a dirty comic, too. How much does that go over in France?
In France, it goes really well because they don't they don't have that.
They don't have dirty comics.
They don't have dirty comics.
Oh.
They, but in Quebec, people get offended, like, really. Yeah, please. People get offended super fast. Like, I've had, a couple of years ago, I had death threats.
What? For dirty material? Yeah.
I was there was a paper here in Montreal that talked about a joke I did, and they said that I'd shocked and offended the audience.
Is this the pedophilia joke?
Not even. It was a joke about I just mentioned a little girl that got kidnapped in a joke, and people were thinking I was making fun of the little girl. And
they just hear buzzwords. And so if you say a buzzword or a thing about something, like, oh, and you're like, listen, stop. Yeah. It's not offensive. Yeah. Just listen to it.
There was a guy on TV that does this call-in show. He opened his show by calling the little girl that got kidnapped, her grandfather, saying, Mike Ward makes fun of your granddaughter. What do you think about that? So what do you think he's going to say? He's not going to be like, oh, that fucking guy's hilarious. So he got angry.
Yeah.
And then people were – I had people lined up outside my house waiting for me to come out to kick my ass, and it was fucking bizarre. It was the weirdest shit.
Wow. So what do you mean? Who was lined up? How many people were there?
Oh, like 4 or 5.
Just waiting to try to beat you up.
But they were weird because they were like, I live in the suburbs, so there's no reason. Like if I was in the city, there's a reason for someone to be out on the street. But
so you saw people.
They were on the suburbs on my, like on the sidewalk. So I'd go out of my house and I'd ask them, like I'd go to ask them, what are you doing here? And as soon as I'd go out, they'd sort of leave and pretend like they were just waiting for a bus or, and then I'd go back in the house and they'd come right back in front of my house.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they like suburban pussies that were like,
they were like,
do something, but they're not going to actually do anything?
They were like, sort of like the equivalent of like an internet bully that they were like, I'm going to show that guy. And then when I came out, they were like, oh, fuck.
You could probably instigate those people though.
Yeah.
Probably get in their face and push one. If one pushes you back, then they all start.
Yeah. But it was weird. It was really weird.
Wow. Over what? Over saying?
The joke actually is this little girl, her name was Cedrica, and I said, I was talking about how the government had frozen my bank account, and I was like, the government are dicks. If you owe them $9, they're going to kidnap your kids. They're the ones that have that little Cedrica, which is when it was
oh, yeah.
You know,
it was the biggest news story.
It was a news story, so it was funny, but it's not offensive. Like, you'd have to be fucking crazy to get offended
by that. It's more about the currency value. Yeah. $9 is worth a lot.
But
it's worth so much that the ridiculous thing is that they would kidnap a child over it.
But people got, like, really angry.
Fucking people. Why don't they all just go away?
Yeah. Comedy would be so much better if people
be
just went
to
away.
Through comedy. But I saw that. You ever see that Twilight Zone where everyone's gone and the guy is just alone with his books?
No.
It's just this Twilight Zone where it's just like he can't read or something. He doesn't have time to read. And so now everyone just leaves or everyone like freezes or something. I forget which one it is.
Okay.
And so now he can like read all the books he wants. Like everyone in the universe is all frozen except him. He can walk around. Like he goes to like diners and somebody's like holding a pot of coffee. Just like wait, you know, all frozen.
Okay.
But then I think his glasses break.
Okay.
And so then it's like, oh, the irony. Now I can't read because I don't have my glasses or something. I don't know. But the rest of it, when no one's around, I could probably go for that. I could probably be like, this is okay.
Yeah, I used to have that fantasy when I was little, that time would just freeze. But it always turned out to be like just weird and sexual that I'd just...
You would just feel gross
up? I'd finger everyone.
I'd finger everyone. Yeah. I'd probably feel a lot of boobs. I'd look both ways. And like, just go to like nuns. Kind of like, whose boobs can I feel that I shouldn't? Yeah.
grab the Pope's cock.
Yeah. You like this, don't you? Little Pope. Little dirty Pope. Are you Christian at all? No, you said you're not.
What no, I grew up Christian, but...
Do you care about the Pope?
No.
Yeah.
They should just... It's weird, though. Like, the Catholic Church should just say, okay, we had a good run and fuck mm-hmm. it, you know?
Call it. Just your name is too bad. Mm. You've made your name too many negatives.
Mm. Yeah. Just change the name of the thing. Start a Maybe. New company.
Or sell the churches off to the Protestants and the Methodists mm. and the Baptists.
Yeah, the whole
like Little Debbie did, like Hostess did.
Yeah,
they sold off Wonder Bread and they sold off Twinkies.
Sell the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. Just have nail a, just like Calvin or Luther, nail to the wall a new no pedophile policy, so the people know. Like it's, but it looks like the old one, but it's a new one. Yeah. Fuck. What else should we talk about?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe we'll wrap up. You want to take a break for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, so we're talking about fighting organizations in Canada.
Go yeah, ahead. There was a thing called XMMA that I went to see a fight, and there was a guy called Steve Clavou that he
sounds French as fuck.
Yeah, it's impossibly more French than that. But his in his corner,
did it demean you to death?
He had Georges St-Pierre with him, and he used to always shave.
Wait, is that Georges St-Pierre?
Yeah,
that you just said?
Yeah, GSP.
Say
yeah.
that again.
Georges St-Pierre.
Wow,
that's his French name.
Say it one more time.
Georges St-Pierre.
Oh, man, I've never heard it said like that. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So anyway, GSP was in his corner, and Steve Clavou used to always shave the number 666 into his head.
Okay.
Like on the side of his head. And he'd fucking wear
Badass.
He was like almost a wrestler. It was amazing. When he'd walk out, he was almost like a bad guy in wrestling. Like it was really fun to watch him walk in. And he was fighting. And the guy clipped his nose and just broke the nose. And he just started pissing blood from his face. So everyone was like, oh, fuck. He touched the blood, looked at it, licked his hand, and then just fucking attacked the guy. And it was the best fight I've ever seen in my life.
Whoa.
Like, I went to see him after.
Who was he fighting against? I wonder if that's on YouTube.
I don't know. He was fighting a guy I'd never heard of. But met him. I had never met GSP before. And I, like, moved GSP out of the way. And I was like, fuck, I got to meet Steve Clavou. And I was like, can I have a picture with you? And he was fucking amazing.
How long ago was this?
This is like 2 years ago.
Is he still fighting Clavou?
I think he's not allowed to fight anymore.
Why?
I don't know. He lost his they won't give him his license.
Oh really?
I think it's because he was he used to train fighters for the Hells Angels, and I think he like because of the criminal
association.
Element,
really?
They banned him.
Oh.
Yeah, what he's a really good fighter, though. He should be, like...
Unless it's roids or something, then it's like, what do you mean?
No. It was something stupid, like...
You want to be good people?
Yeah, and it's weird, too. Like, fighting, like MMA, there's always going to be... As soon as there's fighting, there's always going to be, like, a criminal element. You can't think that these guys are all fucking, you know...
Yeah. Really? Wait a minute. Really? They do, like, illegal stuff?
No, they don't do illegal stuff, but
they're
around illegal stuff.
Oh, yeah. I guess if you think about it, like, where did you learn how to fight?
Yeah, like you didn't learn how to fight going to
going to the gym,
summer school, and you know, fucking,
taking extra classes,
yeah,
getting an AP 5. So have you been? You haven't been to the UFC before?
Never been. Today is the first time I go to like a real UFC thing.
Who are you gonna go with?
I'm going with my manager and a couple of friends.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was gonna try to get tickets, like calling people that, hey, can you get me a ticket? And then I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm just going to buy tickets.
Yeah, I just started doing that. How long were you poor for?
I was poor for about five years.
Five, 10 years. And then 5 or 10 years?
Yeah. So it depends, like, what you're poor is. Like, I remember the first year I did comedy.
Yeah.
I earned the first year that was my only job, I earned
$1,700. $1,700?
$1,700.
My lowest was $9.
Okay.
$1,700?
Yeah.
And that, well, that's your entire income?
That was it. So I had nothing. And my neighbor was on welfare. And my neighbor made twice as much money as I did. I used to do shows that, like...
Did you get on welfare?
No, I didn't want to go on welfare.
Why?
I was too lazy.
Too much of an idiot.
No, we had to go wait in line to get our check. And I was too fucking lazy to wait in line.
I've done that. Like, I've lost unemployment checks because I've been like... They're like, why didn't you send it in time? I was like, I just put it down. Yeah. Like, what do you mean you got lost? I'm like, no, I just put it down. I just said I'll write it later. And then 3 weeks passed.
Yeah. I used to tell people, were like, oh, that's cool. You've never been on welfare. They thought it was like a pride thing.
Fuck pride. That's way I'm so much more glad that you didn't say that.
No, it was just, I was too fucking lazy.
So 1700. Wow. Okay. So, So after you.
1700. So I had no phone. I lived with three guys in an apartment that cost $400 a month. Huh. So it cost me like $175 a month. And I do shows, and the good thing about French comedy is...
But first of all, you're still in the hole. That's still not enough. You haven't earned enough to pay for that.
But French comedy, it's open bar whenever there's a show. So I drink like...
So you drank for free.
I drank for free. So I drank for like 15,000
a year. Is that where you developed your tolerance?
Yeah. I'm not really that tolerant, though. Like, I used to be able to drink a lot, and now I get drunk really fast.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I don't know how hard you drink. I just know you get drunk.
Yeah, I get drunk. And I black out. Like last night.
Really? That's the sign of an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like your main one.
Last night, I woke up. Like, I live far from the city, so I always need someone to drive me home. And there was a I hired this, well, I don't remember, but I hired a company to drive me back home. And I woke up when I got home, and then the guy wanted money. And I was, like, angry that he wanted my money. Like, I didn't...
You didn't know who he was.
I didn't understand why his car looked exactly like mine and why he wanted my money.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is it? He drives your car home?
Yeah, there's a thing called 0.08.
And how does he get back?
There's another guy that follows.
Tailing him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Great idea.
Amazing. And it's super cheap.
What's it called?
It's called 0.08. I think it's just in Montreal, though.
What is it? That's the name of the company?
Yeah, it's called...
Because you can't blow above a 0.08.
Yeah, that's it.
Because that's the main thing. It's like, that's what Sam Kinison's joke was. Like, they say not to drive drunk.
How am I going to get my car back home?
Yeah. And that's always like, fuck, am I going to come out here tomorrow? Yeah. I don't know how to get here. No, we'll just risk it.
At first, that's what I was going to do. Like, I had a friend. I was like, he was like, I can drive you home. And I was like, how am I going to get... Back to your place tomorrow, and
you just don't want to deal with it. You're not thinking straight because you're bombed.
I used to drink and drive a lot, and I don't anymore. Except last winter, I drank, and I was like, you know, when you're a little drunk, you're like, I can't drive because you're a little drunk, so your brain is still working. Uh-huh. But when you're shit faced, you have like too much confidence.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, fuck it, I can drive home.
I can do anything, let alone drive.
And I was driving home, and I just started throwing up on the highway.
Where? Out the window?
No, on my shirt. And I was like, I'm thrown up on myself, and I'm like, holy fuck, am I drunk? So I pull the car over. And I'm like, fuck, I have vomit all over my shirt. So I took my shirt off and threw it out because I figured if the cops see vomit, they're going to know I've been drinking.
No shirt's way better. Yeah.
So I was, this was like February or March in Montreal, and I'm driving with no shirt on. And I got home, and like next morning, my wife was like, were you drunk last night? I was like, no, I wasn't that drunk. She's like, where's your shirt? I was like, yeah, I was a little drunk.
Okay, possibly. Yeah, when you get really shit-faced.
Yeah.
And you can't, that's the worst people to always ask. I always ask people as they're getting in the car, like, are you okay to drive? And they're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, why are you asking him?
Yeah.
Why are you asking the lush drunk whether he's okay? Yeah. Somebody sober who's seen him. Yeah.
That's why all the whole drinking driving ads never work.
Yeah.
Because the.
It doesn't account for the realities.
Because when I'm sober, I know I can't drive. And even when I'm drunkish, I know I can't drive. But if I'm shit faced, I can. It's the same problem with the
condom commercials.
Yeah.
Where they're like, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'll always wear a condom. Yeah, but then when you're there,
horny
and you have no condom, you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're drunk with horniness.
Yeah, I had a girl once when I was single that I had a condom on, but she started, as I was fucking her, talking to me about AIDS. And it was the weirdest.
What was she saying about?
She was like, I'm fucking her, and she was like, do you do this often? And I was like, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, with people you don't know, and I go, not that often. She goes, aren't you worried about AIDS? And I was like, that's when I became like really worried about AIDS.
Like, I'm more now than probably I've ever been in my life ever. Yeah. Why? Do you
mention it? It was weird. I stopped fucking.
You were wearing a condom, though.
Yeah, I was wearing a condom, but even still, I was like, fuck, maybe the AIDS is... I was sure that she had AIDS when she said that.
Don't you worry about AIDS.
And she was like this was like in 93, 94. In those days, no one had tattoos, or just bikers had tattoos.
She had
a tattoo from her head right to her ass. Like,
really?
It was a fucking...
Yes, and tattoos used to be a sign of strength.
Yeah.
Now they're just a sign of, like, fashion
or
something. Or the ability to have $50. Everybody's got it. My theory is the new way people are going to seem badass is because, you know, now they have the earrings, the separator earrings. I feel like those are the big ones. If you see a hole in your earring inside of it. But then I feel like that's going to catch up, too. And then people are going to have to start wearing the neck.
Plates. The African thing?
Uh-huh, until your neck gets all wobbly. That'll be the way to say
it. I have the worst tattoo. I got a tribal tattoo on my arm.
Come on.
And it's, but I got this.
What are you doing?
Like, I got this in the, like, in 94. So, it like, in 94, this was kind of
before the chick from Baywatch got it.
Yeah. But now, like, I had a guy last winter. Like, I always wear long sleeve shirts to hide my tattoo. And a guy asked me, he saw it. He was like, is that new? And I was like, is that, do you think that I'd go to fucking tattoo place and go, can you get me like something that looks really fucking I'm really into Pamela Anderson.
Let me answer that by not sucking your dick.
Yeah.
I think you have your answer right there, sir. What was you saying about the UFC? You're a GSP fan, right?
Yeah. But you can't be from here and not.
He's another guy. That's what I was thinking of when you were saying that. He's another guy that it's like he's big in America as a UFC, you know, so they love him here. Although they love all their
But here, like, I'm happy. It used to be when I'd go to the States and people found out I was French-Canadian, they'd talk about Céline Dion, and I fucking hate Céline.
Oh, really?
I hate her. She's
everyone in America does, too, though.
Horrible. But she's just horrible. But I'm happy that GSP is, you know, not Céline.
Yeah. Céline Dion is like Housewives. Like her. It's like the worst parts of society.
She's like every she's Michael Bolton with a vagina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know she bought that smoked meat place?
Yeah, I can't buy smoked meat from
Céline. Well, here's my problem. So I got it last year, and I was like, it's a little drier than normal.
Yeah.
And then somebody told me that she had sold it, and I was like, wait, maybe that's why I got a bad fucking, maybe she hired a new chef.
Yeah. I can't buy, like, if I go to
Schwartz's, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Schwartz's. I can't, like, if I buy smoked meat, I have to buy it from someone that's Jewish. If I buy, if I go to a Japanese restaurant, I don't want a fucking Greek guy.
Yeah, you don't want to know the owner is.
Might seem racist, but if I eat Japanese food, I want.
It's definitely racist, but it's okay.
But it's good racism.
Yeah,
like,
it's fun kind of racism. No one's getting hurt.
If I buy Greek food, I want a Greek cooking. So Céline Dion selling smoked meat sandwiches doesn't work for me.
Did she marry some 90-year-old?
Yeah, she married
like
an old man. And I had a joke. I have a joke about him in my French show. And he's fucking crazy. He sues everyone over comedy. There was a blog last year that they showed ugly pictures of Céline. And he sued the owner of the blog. Like a fucking sued a guy on the internet. And my show, the when we had our premiere in Montreal, the next day, he had a meeting with all his lawyers to find out what they could do to get me to get rid of my joke.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the joke, like, what saved me is, like, I insult her, and then I say how he wants to sue everyone, and then I end with a pedophile joke. And anyway, I say, if I'm not going to get sued after this, they're never going to sue me. So since I sort of look like a guy that wants to get sued, they were like, I can't sue him. And I said in the paper, like, I'm worth nothing. Like, I have a
What are you going to sue for? Fucking
I have a little house on the South Shore, you know, that's not even paid for. So if he wants to move in with me, he can fucking.
Yeah, certain people, like, want to get something happen to them. Yeah. Fuck. Hey, do you have a Twitter or anything or an address?
Yeah, Twitter, Mike Ward CA, and Facebook, Mike Ward CA.
Why do you have Mike Ward CA? Is there an American Mike Ward? Ward?
Yeah, there was a...
Who was that? Leave It to Beaver?
No, it's just some what? No, that was Ward.
Oh, that's Burt Ward I'm thinking of.
That was a Robin.
Yeah, okay.
But the Mike Ward is a guy that, he's like an internet guy. So he had, like when I first got my website, he had already bought MikeWard.com.
Uh-huh.
And then I asked him, I was like, can I buy that off you? And he found out who I was. And he asked $25,000. He was like, give me $25,000, I'll sell you MikeWard.com.
Oh.
I was like, fuck it. You know, I'll just...
I can't afford that.
Yeah. I'll use a CA. Even if I could afford it. It's like, you know.
Well, most people just go to from a link anymore anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
That's it.
Or they just Google Mike Ward and your thing will come up first.
Yeah.
Rogan had JoeRogan.com was taken by some real estate broker.
So he took .net or did he took a dash?
He took .net, but he asked the guy, and the same guy said the same thing. He asked for something high. I think it was like $1,000 back then or something way too high for back then. But the guy was like, okay, I'm not trying to like gouge you. I need this for my business. Like, I've got all these bus stop ads up with, you know, JoeRogan.com. Like, what do you want me to tell you? I need this. And so he's like, all right.
That must be weird, though. If you're selling houses and your name is Joe Rogan.
He said he gets emails sometimes. Like, that guy will get emails sometimes and forward them to Rogan.
Okay.
Saying, I believe this one's for you. Yeah. It's about drugs or something like that. They were like, I think this is for, not meant for me. He said he's like a nice guy.
Did Joe Rogan get emails about houses or not?
I don't think so. He's never mentioned that. If he has, he probably think it's some scam. And he deletes it. Yeah, I wonder if he's just over it. Like,
I'm thinking about buying that house on Wilshire.
Call me back immediately. I have a check. So it's Mike Ward. .ca.
My website, my English website is mike-ward.com.
Oh.
And then all my Twitter and Facebook is mikewardca.
What do you Twitter in, French or English?
Both.
You just go back and forth.
Yeah. I used to have one Twitter account in English and one in French.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, like in Quebec, people are fucking crazy about the language. And if you, like, I'd write something in English and then I'd get these French people saying, why are you writing in English? And people get angry. And so I split them up. Then I was like, fuck them, you know. So I just, now I just half in French, half in
English. They
have
a translator on my Twitter app. Tweetings. Okay. And then you just hit world or whatever.
Oh, and you can translate?
Ooh, yeah, it translates.
Oh, really?
Even from oriental countries.
Okay.
Asian, whatever.
It's weird. Oriental.
I don't know. That seems right, though. Orient the corn. I don't
know. Oriental. That sounds racist.
It sounds racist. It almost.
It sounds like we're in 1972.
Yeah. Oriental countries. From the, so you can't even say the word orient anymore?
No, I don't think you can say oriental anymore.
At all. Wow, okay.
But I had a guy last week, like he was from Denmark that followed me. And whenever I have people from like countries, like, and I was going to say weird countries, but countries that don't speak French or English, I'm always like,
How do you?
Yeah, like, why do you know me? How? I don't get it. Especially, I went to see the guys, and all his words, like all of his things, all his tweets were in Danish. So I was like, "How can you understand me?"
Yeah, maybe it's a translator.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Could be.
I'll see somebody respond to me, and they'll like hit one of their friends up who speaks whatever language they want to type in.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I want to see what you said. It does it. It's occasionally you can see the grammar's like a little off, but you pretty much get what they mean.
Like when you do the festival here in Montreal, you must get a bunch of French
tweets
for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's maybe like one a day or something, right? Okay. Around that. Yeah, absolutely. It's like I saw this guy, Ari Shaffir. I want to know if they said and he was a piece of shit or if he was funny. I want to know. So what about, you got any Canadian dates coming up?
No.
English Canadian? You got nothing?
Nothing. I was on tour and my tour just ended, so I'm just doing like local club things and just writing new shit.
Oh, wow. Do you do that thing where you like tour on like a new hour and stuff?
Yeah.
It's a real English way to do stuff.
Yeah, in Quebec we over tour. Like my last tour lasted 2.5 years for just Quebec.
Oh, what?
So I sold like 140,000 tickets. Like
2.5 year tour of Quebec?
Yeah.
How many cities were there?
There's like no cities, but we do the, like there's maybe 30 cities, but it's the same city over and over. Like Quebec City, I did maybe 25 dates.
Different parts of town?
No, same theater. Like
with all the same material?
All the same material.
And you fill it up with like what, different people all the time?
Yeah. Wow. Quebec is amazing for comedy. I think it's because of the festival that people like have become like huge comedy fans.
Really?
Yeah.
Would they go see English, like American people? Or is it just the French?
It's mostly just the French. Okay. They kind of do.
That's cool though. It's a new
the English side, thing. But they like in French. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when like Dane Cook was really big in the States.
Yeah,
and I'd seen a thing how he had sold like 200,000 tickets for his tour.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in Quebec called Martin Matt that sold 400,000 tickets just in Quebec.
Just and so these gigs, this 2.5 year tour, they're all French.
Yeah, all French, gigs. All in just in Quebec.
What? And then when do you do your English speaking stuff?
I have shows here and there. Like now, since my tour is over,
how do you get down your timing and stuff with just shows here or there in that language?
I don't. I don't.
You did the nasty show.
Yeah, but it's because I'd been doing shows like
leading
pretty
up to
regular.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I haven't. That's what I want to do. Like take like a year or two off in French and just tour in English, sort of to get, you know, where I think I should be.
But that would be a humongous pay cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, even if you get as big as you are, you wouldn't be, there's not the gigs. They don't have the gigs for English speakers.
Yeah. But I'm not like, and this sounds like a dick
25
thing,
shows
but I'm not like in, I'm not in it for the money. And I've I'm old enough that I've, like I live really cheap and I have a bunch of money put aside. So as soon as I started doing comedy, I had like my fuck you money in mind, and I was like, okay, as soon as I have this, I can do what I want. So I'm there now, so I can just do what I want.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
And my number was real low, though.
Yeah.
Like I saw Doug Stanhope say his fuck you number was like 3,000. And mine was like, it was something stupid, but like I can live, like if the first year I was doing comedy, I earned $1,700. So if you can live off $1,700, you don't need that much to.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about hooking up tickets for the UFC. I was like, when you're poor and when you're super poor like that, or I'm saying, I guess the next 5 years was just regular poor.
Yeah.
You just get this mindset of like, you can't pay for a ticket for anything. You just can't. And then it takes a while for you to shake that and be like, oh, I guess I can just buy it. I don't have to call like 1,000 people.
Yeah. Like, what's weird, I still have, like, a poor mind often for things. Uh-huh. Like, last week, I was at the grocery store, and the woman, she was supposed to give me back 15. She only gave me back 10. And I sort of saw it, but I didn't see it. My hands were full. And then I got in my car, and I was like, fuck, she owes me $5. And I just started thinking about the $5 for a day and a half, and that's all I thought about. And then I was like, fuck, it's $5. Who
let
cares?
It go.
Like,
yeah.
Just let it go. Like, I was fucking getting angry about $5.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ, it's fucking retarded.
You're like, I don't have to. I can pay $5 to not feel angry anymore.
Yeah,
just
like,
let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to see Muse recently, and I had, like, scalp tickets, and it was, like, a few $100. And I was like, fuck, all right, yeah, I guess so. It was so good, though.
Yeah.
Normally, if I wanted to see a band, I'd have to like try to get booked at a comedy festival that had, music festival that had comedy. I mean, Ottawa, I've done the last 3 years.
Okay.
Blues Fest.
You've done a couple of the festivals in Montreal. In Canada, right? You've done Winnipeg?
No, I never did the Winnipeg one.
Which one did you see? I did
Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto just for laughs.
Did you do the Moncton or Halifax?
Nuh-uh.
Okay.
I got to go to Halifax.
Okay.
That's one place I really want to get to.
Yeah.
Probably in the summer, though.
Yeah, I think anywhere in Canada you want to go in the summer, except for BC.
Yeah,
BC,
it's just people come out less in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, but that's weird.
Yeah, but man, it's still so much. It's so nice here in the summer.
Yeah,
everything's so green.
Yeah.
This festival's so nice. I was trying to get Robbie to bring back like every year, so I could do that storyteller show and just do it every year.
Are you doing it again this summer?
No, he was like, dude, you got to take a year off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, why? He goes, because nope, we can't get radio interviews with you and TV and like newspaper. They know you're here every year. I was like, fuck.
How's that? Like, you do the Cleopatra.
Uh-huh.
How is that?
Surprisingly good.
Okay. That's a tranny strip club?
It's a tranny strip club, yeah.
That's fucking weird.
That story, that this is not happening storyteller show. They wanted to put it up there, and I said, he said, we're going to book it. We do four or six of them. Like, it was all sex stories. I think maybe six. And Yeah, and he told me where it was. It's like, wait, what? It's upstairs at a tranny strip club? Come on. Like, what are you fucking theming me for? I don't need it to be that. But did you go up there at all?
No, I've never been in
it
there.
It was totally nice.
Okay.
I mean, you felt like a degenerate walking through the front door, so the vibe was good. Okay. But upstairs was a regular little stage with only like a foot and a half off the ground and a perfectly square room. It was really cool.
I've been, it's weird.
A little smoky in there.
Last year, I did a show with Joe Norton, and as soon as I met him.
Jim Norton?
Jim Norton.
Yeah.
And as soon as I met him, like, he was like, is there a place to go out? And I was like, okay, there's a tranny strip club. I was like, it was the first time I could tell someone.
It was like, perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, with that guy, you can't get dark enough. He's like, he's not looking at him talking about dinner. He's talking about going out. That's funny. How was it? It's tough to keep up with him.
Yeah, he was really funny. No, I was surprised with the lack of confidence he had. Like, he was I was doing the Nasty Show, but for TV.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to close, and he didn't want to close. Like, he didn't feel like he could close. And I was like, fuck, he should definitely close.
Maybe he's
the
doing
show.
New material or something.
Yeah, it was really good, though, what he was doing.
Wow.
He was really, really funny. Yeah, really funny.
Yeah, he is. Bobby Lee's like that a lot. No confidence.
Okay.
But still really good. And I'm like, you can follow anybody here, but if he has some open mic or getting a couple laughs, he's like, I can't. They'll hate me. They're going to hate me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, your headline. They're here to see you. And he just gets in his head. But then he does fine every time. He kills. But
that,
yeah.
That's funny. Like, comics, I think everyone that does comedy.
I'm pretty insecure.
And everyone,
I think,
like,
I can't follow people.
If it wasn't for comedy, I think everyone would need therapy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no. I've never met a comedian that I was like, oh, if that guy didn't have comedy, he'd be good.
He'd be fine. No. Yeah.
I think we're all kind of fucked up a little.
It works as therapy a lot.
Yeah.
Get to let shit off your shoulders.
Like, I'd never see a therapist just for that. Just for all my insecurities, I think,
really?
Help with the writing. And
oh.
I don't. I think if mentally I'm perfect, I'm just gonna write shit.
I knew a comic who wouldn't take DMT.
Okay.
Because he was afraid it would make him less mean.
Okay.
And he felt like he needed that for his comedy. He said it would make him too understanding of humans. And he was like, I can't be bitter. I got to be bitter to be funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, he was scared it would cure his comedy.
I cured my comedy.
Yeah. Wait. What's the? I forgot to get back to this. What's the drunk driving law here is crazy, or it's probably sane, actually.
It's a 0.08.
0.08, and then what happens to you? Or is it just Vancouver that was like extra strict?
Here, they take your license away.
Take your license, just done. It's gone.
Yeah.
For how long?
I think it's 2 years. I've never lost my license.
And do they impound your car or anything?
They impound your car for a month. This happened to me once. It's I was drunk, and I was with a friend, and we were leaving a club, and there were cops. And I was like, I can't drive. There are cops. And he was like, I don't have a license. So I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, so they can't do anything to you. You drive. So he took my car. We moved like 3 feet. The cops stopped us, and they impounded the car for a little – I think it was a month.
Really?
Yeah, 30 days.
Wow, and you got to pay for that impounding time?
Yeah, it was like, I think, $9 or $10 a day.
Okay, that's not crazy, but that's bad.
Yeah.
For 30 days, yeah.
Yeah.
And you go to jail that night?
No, they. I was really drunk, so I remember.
How long was this? How long ago?
This is like 10 years ago.
Okay.
So they. I remember they let us call. And I think I called a cab and just drove home. The cab drove home.
In Vancouver, they had that, but I think they changed to 0.05 for a while.
Okay.
So pretty much everyone knew, like, if you have one drink, you're not driving home.
Here, like,
it's not worth losing your car and your license.
I think if you're under 21 in Quebec, if you have one drink, they
you're fucked.
Yeah,
because you're not supposed to have anything.
Yeah, it's zero tolerance. But like, if you're over 21, and I think even if you're over 21, if you've been driving for less than 5 years, it's zero tolerance. But like, for the older people, they don't give a fuck.
All right. Wow, is this?
Yeah.
The only people, they just don't care. They're like, you're fine. You know what you're doing right now.
They know people are going to drink and drive.
Just a fact of life. It's Saturday.
But I'm happy, though, that, like, I used to drink and drive a lot, and I'm happy that I don't anymore, except for last year. But like, I'm happy too that like whenever I see like if do you do college shows?
No, never did them.
Whenever I do college shows, like. College kids are like crazy against drinking and driving, and they'll see me have like two drinks and don't take your car.
And you're like, kid, it's only two. Yeah. On seven, I'll still go. I remember being like that, where it's like, if I have so much as one sip of alcohol, I will not drive. And that went the fuck out the window once you start drinking. That's cool when you're not drinking to say shit like that. like, what are you talking about? I only had 19 beers. Been over 2 hours.
I'm happy though that I don't know, people are like that.
Yeah, me too. It's way safer. Whenever I hear about a cop who thinks he's cool by like, he's always like, I always let drunk drivers go. Just a warning. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. It's super dangerous. You should like enforce that law. It's not a victimless crime. It's like really bad. I was with my friend once, and we saw this guy getting into the back seat with his key, trying to get into the back door of his car for like a good minute and a half, and then he like kept trying it and he couldn't get it, and then he like looked up, looked left, and he goes, oh, and he stands backwards and left, then he goes to the front door, opens that, starts it up, and drives right off.
Oh, really?
Goes right through the first red light he got to, went right through it. We're like, hold back, just let that guy go. It's so bad. The last time I drove really drunk was I went to see Stanhope at this place called King King in Hollywood. And it's maybe a 10-12 minute drive from my house. So cab wouldn't have been anything major, but I remember getting too drunk. I don't drink a lot, and just having too many, like a couple shots and like two beers, and I was starting to like, whoa, and then I had like a couple more beers, and I couldn't even stay inside anymore. I was getting like nauseous, so I had to go get out to get some air, and I saw my car right there, and so I was like, oh, well, get in the car and drive home, I guess. And I wasn't thinking, and I just drove like I was swerving, and like I had no control of the road.
Okay.
And I was like, I made a deal with myself, like, I'll just go as far as the Comedy Store, which is like blocks away from my house, which is like, well, that's, you may as well be home. But then afterwards, going like, fuck, like if I killed somebody, I wouldn't have even stopped. I wouldn't have even known about
it. Did you check your car the next morning?
Later? I don't remember.
I always do that, like, now I sound like I fucking drink and drive all the time, but whenever I drink and drive, I'll go out and look at my car to make sure, okay, no dents, no blood, no...
Yeah.
So I'm good.
Oh, that'd be so bad. Yeah, but then I was like, I got to stop this.
Yeah. It's weird. I have a friend that he quit drinking and driving. Well, he quit drinking because of this. He did a show. There's a town called Three Rivers. It's like 2 hours from here. He did his show there. He blacked out during the show. He was so drunk. And he woke up the next morning in Montreal. And he doesn't remember driving back like two hours. And he, in his pockets...
Drove 2 hours on a blackout?
And he had a gas receipt. So he actually stopped for gas.
Wow. Yeah, I love seeing somebody when they're blackout drunk and just looking into their eyes and going like, oh, you're not... None of these are memories now. Like, you're not going to remember me meeting me, saying hi.
Yeah, I'm bad at that.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times have you blacked out?
If ever I drink anything that isn't beer, I black out.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I don't drink.
What if it's like one shot of whiskey?
If I don't drink too much beer, I'll be good. Like if I have a couple of drinks and a couple of shots, I'll be good. But it's just if for some reason, since I know that I black out with liquor, I just drink beer. But I drink beer like crazy. Like I get homeless drunk. Like I fucking drink like a maniac. And I black out a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, wow.
Yeah, I have
What do you do? You just don't worry about it?
It's sort of in my mind. It's become a part of the persona. I'm like, it's.
That's how you play it off.
Yeah, I'm like, people think I'm charming.
Wild and crazy guy. Yeah.
Yeah, because I used to feel like really. I think most. Drunks are like that I'd feel guilty the next day, and I was like, what did I do? And then I just sort of accepted it, and what I try to do now, though, once a year is take a month off of drinking.
A month off once a year, that's not bad. See if you can do it.
And that way in my mind I'm like, okay, I'm not an alcoholic, I can go 1 month without drinking.
Bill Burr took a year off just to see if he could do it with like, how much am I addicted to this?
What's weird?
Like, he went back to it.
The first show I did when I wasn't drinking, I realized I'm way funnier when I don't drink. But I like drinking, so I sort of accept.
I do that sometimes about getting high, where I'm like, oh, it makes me loose. But then I'm like, I get too high, then I'm less than loose. I'm just
When you do shows, do you smoke every show or
no? But most shows,
okay.
Yeah, sometimes I'll try to wait till afterwards if it's like a big show or if I'm following somebody like it's tough to follow, like really legitimate. Like I got to be on my game a little bit,
okay.
Or a showcase where I have to do specific material, so I can't fuck around.
Okay, so you then know? You'll be 100% sober.
No, I'll have gotten high like a couple hours before.
Okay,
so I'm mostly all the way down, but not all the way down.
Okay,
but then the best is when you don't smoke all day long. My friend Matt Egger. Turn me on to this. You don't smoke all day long, and your first hit, when it hits you the hardest, your first hit is right before you go on stage.
Okay.
So, like, this next guy, and you just hit it a bunch of times, and then go on, and then just get loopy.
Okay.
Yeah. See what happens like that. That's pretty fun.
Cool.
Yeah. But normally, if it's the road, I'll smoke pot, like, you know, an hour before, then again, like,
what do you do,
minutes.
Like, when you fly to Canada? Do you
bring anything with me to Canada.
But anyway, like, people know you're a pot smoker, so once you get here, they'll offer.
Canada made me realize it. I was talking to, you know, Claire Brasso?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking one day in Toronto, and we're sitting on this wall or whatever, just late at night, it's the summer, and just talking, and some guy walked by, some black dude, and he goes, it was one of the first times I got recognized. He's like, "You Ari Shaffir?" I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Dude, I'm a fan." I was like, "Oh, wow, weird." And he goes, "Can I smoke a joint with you?" I was like, "Do you have one?" He goes, "Yeah." And he takes off his knapsack, his book bag or whatever, and he pulls out a joint. We smoke a little bit. He goes, "Yeah, keep the rest." And yeah, Canada's always been cool with weed. Cool. They've always been cool here. That's after that, my agent was like, "You should sell some weed stuff." So I started selling grinders on the road. If you don't smoke pot much, do you?
No, okay. I don't. I get like crazy paranoid.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's the worst.
Yeah, when I was little, all I did was smoke hash. And
whoa.
Hash was like, I just get
so
too
good.
Stoned.
Hash is so good.
Yeah. The last time I smoked hash, I ended up, I was, there's a thing in Quebec City called the Plains of Abraham, and there's no trees.
That sounds like a sweet place to kill somebody.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's actually where the English conquered the French.
Oh.
In whatever, 1608 or whatever year they conquered the French.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was on the Plains of Abraham smoking hash with my friends, and I ended up in a tree. I was in a tree. Like, I blacked out. I always black out whatever I take. I blacked out, and I woke up. I was in a tree, and my hair was on fire. And I just started freaking the
what?
Fuck out. So I tapped my head. I fell out of the tree. And
because you lost your balance?
Yeah, because yeah. I was hitting my head. And then I blacked out again, woke up in a Wendy's, and I couldn't understand the concept of ordering food. Like, I thought I was in my friend's kitchen, and I just wanted to go get stuff, and the lady wouldn't let me go.
Oh.
And so I was like, fucking, I don't... Yeah, I shouldn't.
There's
I
more fries.
Drink.
Like,
yeah.
No, you can't come back here. No, I just want some fries. I see it.
Yeah, wow. I shouldn't drink. I shouldn't smoke. I should.
How'd your hair get on fire?
It's because it was a pipe, and my lighter flame was too long. And you know, when you inhale, it goes down, but when you don't inhale, it sort of goes up. And yeah. I had long hair. So
Would you have Robert Smith hair?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, my hair got on fire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you came to where it's like, fall, and then gone again until Wendy's.
Yeah, gone again until Wendy's.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds super dangerous.
I had like three times I remember smoking up when I was little. One of the times I sort of blacked out and woke up, and I was fighting this skinhead.
Yeah.
And
well, that's not bad, though. Yeah. At least you're fighting for honor. At least you're not fighting with a skinhead.
Yeah.
Against a Jew. That would be, like, way worse.
But like,
damn it. Came out on this side.
Shit, when I black out, I become... I'm an anti-Semite when I black out. No, but, like, I'm... Yeah, so I just... I black out or I get paranoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's sucky.
Yeah.
That's sucky. Yeah, but I don't fly to Canada with it. I fly... other places sometimes, but okay. I don't fly to Canada because it's too much of a risk. Because, like, they get so weird, Canada, where they like won't let you back in their country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
like Patrice O'Neill, the last time he was here, they didn't let him. Or, yeah. Well, 1 year for the festival.
Yeah, he had some weird like domestic abuse thing or something like that. Apparently, it was something like he was getting a divorce and he had to like put something for it to happen now.
Okay.
So they put that on the. I don't really know the story. I shouldn't. I don't have any idea. but yeah, he couldn't get in.
Like, what country would you like? You should probably shouldn't say this on the podcast
because I don't care. Nobody listens.
Some guy from Denmark will be that fucking.
My feeling is everyone who listens is cool.
Have you ever been like to? I did a show in
the Orient, the Oriental countries, because they don't. It's Asia, but it's not Afghanistan, okay. Which is also Asia.
Okay,
you mean not the Afghanistan, other Morocco, not Israel. We're talking about, that's Africa. We're talking about the Orient,
okay.
Slant-eyed people of Asia. Anyway, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, I did a show in Afghanistan, and everyone there like was bringing me hash. And,
wow.
And I don't do any drugs, but when we came back, I flew there on the sort of the Air Force One of Canada. It was our Prime Minister's plane that flew us out there.
Oh, really?
And when we came back, we were there's a thing in Canada called the Governor General, that she's like the sort of the Queen's assistant for Canada or whatever. I don't know what she is exactly, but she was there with us, and we flew back on her plane on the way back, and we didn't go through customs, so we just landed in Canada, and they were like, okay, you can go home. And there was a guy that had given me like 80 pounds of hash, and I was like, fuck, I should have brought it just to give it to my friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. Like, you don't want to get to Canada and realize, oh, fuck, I got customs.
Oh, yeah. That'd be the worst. When we drove up, me and Rouse and Tripoli and Chris Neff drove up. We did a tour up the West Coast, and we drove into Vancouver. We had all this, like, marijuana left behind before we got to the border, and I was going to give it away in Seattle. And some guy told me, like, no. He said, find the last AMPM. It's a convenience store before the border, and just go in the back and hide it there in like a Gatorade bottle or something.
Okay.
So I didn't find an AMPM. I found a Burger King, and then we saw some bushes, and so we were, like, put all this like in a wide mouth bottle, like a Gatorade thing.
Okay.
And we put all the weed in there, and then we saw these girls that worked the drive. They were like out the back door smoking. They were looking at us, so we got super paranoid that they were like knew what we were doing because it must happen a lot. So we're like, no, take off. It's the cover's blown. They're just gonna grab this as soon as we're gone. So we went to some other weird field, and we just hid it in there. And we had a fake gun, too.
Okay.
And I think we might have hit an open bottle of Jaeger also. And then we went on the way home. Gun. Yeah, I don't know. Because he thought, like, oh, they're going to think we're, like, terrorists. And we went back afterwards, like, a week later. And we found it on our iPhone map, and it was fucking there. Okay. I felt like we pulled off a heist. But normally you got to chuck stuff.
Yeah. Like BC, I think Vancouver is good for pot smokers. Like that's probably the capital of
people
pot
have
for
it
Canada.
There too.
Like everyone smokes in BC.
Yeah. Everyone smokes in BC. It's just a normal thing.
Yeah. Like Montreal, people smoke a little, but not like probably more than New York, but not as much as LA.
Montreal people smoke. Yeah. But they're cool with it. The cops here are all cool with it.
Yeah.
That's what they told us when we were doing that Club Soda. When you hang out the back steps. When we did Nasty Show, was it Metropolis or Club Soda?
Metropolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the back of Club Soda, maybe Metropolis too. Was that where all the, what's it called, hung out? All the hookers? That was behind Club Soda.
No, the hookers are Club Soda.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, yeah, we're smoking out there, and there's a cop at the end of the block, and it's like they just don't.
No, they don't care. They don't even care, like, for prostitution. All the crime that doesn't hurt anyone...
They
like
leave alone.
Like pot smoking. Who the fuck cares?
I like that. The cops have some say in it.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm sure it's still a law, but whatever. We're not going to bother with it.
Yeah.
They just said, like, don't blow it in their face and say, fuck you.
Okay.
Because then they can, like, and they might, like, use it against you. But otherwise, it's fine. Yeah, it's pretty open in Canada.
Yeah.
So I don't fly, but everyone always hooks me up.
Okay.
In America, I might fly with, like, a little, but then still people hook you up.
I'd be afraid, like, at the airport. Like
I fly out of Los Angeles.
Okay.
And there, I'm legal. Legal out of habit.
Do you have a prescription?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, prescription.
What do you have?
Well, actually, I did a bit about it, but this year I didn't say any. I said, I'm fine.
I said,
I want to get high.
Okay.
And the guy kept saying, like, well, let's look at your symptoms. And I just refused to play the game. I absolutely refused to say anything. Yeah, it was pretty fun. The first year, it was because I had knee surgery.
Okay.
Then I said, one year I said depression. One year I said sleeplessness. But they don't give a shit. Okay. They don't care. They just like, say something so I can mark it down. We can all go.
What did he write down when you said, I'm not saying anything?
He ended up writing down anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. I'm not positive. It doesn't say on your prescription. It doesn't say for anything. It just says the doctor has medically prescribed him for illnesses. You can have up to 8 ounces on you.
Okay.
Up to 8 ounces a week.
That's a lot.
That's a fuckload.
Yeah. And with your thing, you can fly anywhere in California, but if you go like to anywhere else, like
then no,
okay,
then I'm not. It doesn't do anything. Even in places that have medical marijuana, like Washington State before it was legalized, had medical, but my thing wouldn't work there, and their things wouldn't work in California. Okay. It's state by state.
What states are have medical marijuana? California,
a bunch. California, Rhode Island, I believe, but they haven't let the dispensaries open up yet because the governor wants to make sure they're not going to get raided.
None of the southern states do, I guess.
I don't think so, but they're looking at it, though.
Like Nevada should.
Nevada just did get it, I think.
Okay.
Oh, and Arizona got it.
Okay.
And so they're just getting into a little bit. But then Washington State and Colorado both made it fully legal.
Okay.
They decriminalized it completely, so you can smoke in the streets there.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Fuck.
Yeah, you can go into stores and buy it. It's taxed. It's just like cigarettes.
Okay.
It's zoned a little bit. I don't know if there's an age limit. Maybe it might be 21, it might be 18. I don't know.
And they sell it like in like a cigarette already rolled or?
Probably all sorts of different ways. Yeah, but you can get that right now at a dispensary. You can get joints already rolled.
Okay.
Usually individual ones or five packs.
Okay. Oh, cool.
They're pretty great. Cool. The already rolled thing is great. If you're on your way to like some music festival or some show, you want to like, you just stop in, get one joint for $10 and leave.
Shit.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
I should start smoking again.
Maybe it's better for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just different types of weed.
I should stop drinking and start smoking. But I'm like too excessive, so I'll just end up smoking like way too much. And
yeah, I do too. It's fun.
But I black out.
Blacking out that way. Yeah. You just like need a blackout.
Yeah,
dude. Maybe you're like a crime fighter or something. Yeah. And you don't know about it. Yeah. And then you come through in these horrible situations.
Yeah. I'm the real Superman. I'm the Batman.
Remember when Spider-Man had the suit that took him over? Venom, and he didn't even know he was sleeping all night, but he was also fighting crime.
Yeah, that's maybe me.
Yeah, maybe. Except you get your hair caught on fire by smoking trees in a tree. All right, Mike Ward.
Cool.
I'll have fun at the fights.
Thanks, you
too. If I see you and I'm too spacey game with Robbie, it's because we're on a heavy edible.
All right, if I'm blacked out.
Okay, if you don't remember saying it, we're both fine.
If I call both of you Robbie, I'm blacking out.
All right, cool. At Mike Ward, CA, Twitter. Fuck yeah. Et chacun peut me voir. Je suis partout à la fois. Et en une claire voix. Autour de moi, j'entends rire les poupées de chinois. Celles qui dansent sur les chansons, poupées de cire, poupées de son. Alrighty, there you go. That's the episode. Oh, and by the way, that new t-shirt. This guy who drew my last year's t-shirt, my 2012 shirt, Ted Park, he just texted me and said, Ari, I've got to get that t-shirt you made for Passive Aggressive. There's t-shirts available online. If you get the Passive Aggressive, you can also get these bundles, which help support me doing a special. I'm not like Louis, you guys. I'm not like Louis. I'm not like Joe Rogan. I'm not making what they're making. I'm still trying to pay back Chill for putting the money up in the first place. So if you want to support me, get some shit on there and help pay for the special. Once we get to even, then I'm good to do another special next year. Once I break even, I'm not looking to make money. I'm looking to make comedy. So you guys are supporting that. You're not supporting my pockets. Anyway, so Ted Park, who made those Korean zombie shirts and also made my 2012 tour shirt, was like, dude, I've got to get that. The poster or the shirt for the Passive Aggressive. And I will just say it is by, he thought it was by Kevin Christie, who does all my This Is Not Happening posters and the cover of my album. It's not. It's this girl named Priscilla Wilson. And he said,
She's got skills. Not with a Z, with an S. You can find her, if you want, on... what is she on Twitter? Valor and Vellum. I think it's V-A-L-O-R-A-N-D-V-E-L-L-U-M. Her name is Priscilla Wilson. She made this awesome, sweet shirt. It's like a dragon, but it's ye olde style. And he's got horn-rimmed glasses on. So, yeah, check her stuff out. And get a poster, a signed poster, or an unsigned t-shirt, along with a signed CD from my last group of material. By the way, these are all different. Passive Aggressive and Revenge for the Holocaust, all different material. And anything you see me doing now, all different material. You might see a repeat of something that you saw last year because it didn't make it to the special. This is one story. But anything else. If you bought my stuff online, you're not going to see any repeats. All right. So what? Do I have anything to add? No. Check out my website to go to the Amazon link or the Gamefly link or the ProFlowers link. Help support the podcast and really get my special. And thank you, Mike Ward, for talking to me about it, about stuff. He drove 45 minutes out there and then fucking 45 minutes back to pick up his friends to go watch the UFC and then 45 minutes back to the Bell Center. I watched it with my friend Robbie. We got high on edibles. By the way, if you've ever done edibles, they're still mystifying to me. I took some on a plane to fly with to go to Montreal. So maybe my tolerance was up high. I don't know. But I took the lollipop, which should have buried me. After an hour and 10 minutes, didn't do anything. So I took half a Jolly Rancher that I had left over. That didn't do anything. So then I took a third of a breath strip. Didn't do anything. So I took the other two thirds. Didn't really feel much of an effect. Just a little bit of a high. The whole UFC. Robbie obliterated on a grape. I don't know where I got it from, but a grape lollipop. Which smelled deliciously grape. Obliterated. Had to go home at the end, wandered like a zombie. Luckily, it was close to the Bell Center. Ate afterwards, didn't really... Sometimes when you eat something greasy, it'll set it off. So I had some poutine and a slice of pizza and a hot dog, a steamy. By the way, the poutine at Bell Center, it leaves a lot to be desired. Nothing. Then I went to Joe Beef. Afterwards, delicious place. Absolutely delicious place in Montreal. A little pricey, but I was with Rogan, so, you know, he pays for shit. He's so nice about it. Whenever we're on the road, he's always like, dude, you leave your wallet alone. I'm buying everything. He's not just buying, like, fucking McDonald's or Subway. He's buying steaks. God, that guy's a fun guy to tour with. He really is. I mean, forget about the shows, which are great, which is pretty much the only reason I'll go with them, because they're great shows. All the time. The crowds are amazing. They're packed. But he treats you like a fucking champion. Always. A lot of other comics don't do it. A lot of comics I've toured with, they don't treat you like an equal at all. And that's why when I go on the road, I mean, I had to sell like shirts and stuff for Paulie, and he really treated us like shit. But I talked to Renazisi about this when I was over at his house, about what you do with selling merchandise. Because I don't like selling t-shirts myself. I don't like standing there having to go through my t-shirts to like pick out the right size for people and like give it to them and then give them change and shit. I can't do it. If I do it myself, I'm not really selling anything. But if I have somebody helping me, a door guy or another comedian or whomever, then I can do it a lot better. So whenever I did it with Paulie, I didn't mind selling his shit because it wasn't my stuff. But I was talking to Renazisi about this. Like, what do you do for having people help you? And I was like, well, I just told him how I in Edmonton, I got a door guy to do it with me the first night. But then I figured Kathleen McGee, a comedian who was opening for me, she might want to, but I felt so bad about asking her to do it. To like force it on her, I had to be like, listen, I don't know if you want to do this at all. Like, you can totally say no. It's totally fine if you say no. But if you help me sell my shit, I'll give you like, you know, some money. You know, like, I don't know, like 10% or close to 10% of what I make. And if you don't want to, it's totally fine. But she was like, no, I need the money. And I obviously remember that. Like, most beginning comics are broke as shit. And you can use an extra $30 or $40. Like, it wouldn't be bad at all, 30 or 40, relax, through the week. But yeah, I feel so bad. And Renazisi has the same thing. He's like, I feel bad asking them. And then I realized, like, dude, Paulie just mistreated us. He just treated us like shit. And that's why we're fucking weird about it. It's because he fucking got it into our heads that we're being assholes if we ask anybody to help. So I've been asking, and they've all been pretty cool, and they all like take the money and they appreciate it. So I don't know who's going to help me in Vancouver or wherever else. But what was my point? Oh, Rogan never asks you to do anything. Always brings you to radio if you want, and he tries to get you on so you feel like a fucking comedian. He got me into Opie and Anthony. We were talking about this, and Opie and Anthony, by the way, it's cool on their parts too, to treat another comic like a fucking equal. I would go in there with Rogan just to keep him company, and they'd be like, oh, he's a comedian? He's a friend of yours, Joe's? Yeah, give him a mic. And I knew my place. I knew it was a Rogan interview, so I didn't fucking make it all about myself or anything. But if I had something funny to add, those guys, O&A and Norton and Rogan, they made me feel like a part of it enough that I didn't mind throwing a joke out there. I didn't mind contributing. And then obviously, you know, every once in a while I would get a good look from Rogan, and that meant like, oh, take your balls out here. You're going to fuck with a semi-homeless lady if you guys saw the Patty episode. That was fun. Anyway, the point is, it was a fun weekend with Rogan. I don't know what my point was. I don't think it was that it was a fun weekend with Rogan. I think it was something else, but it was a fun weekend with Rogan. What the fuck was my point? That I went with him. Oh, I know. So these edibles. This is why I do the wrap-ups. Sometimes this fun stuff comes out. Didn't hit me. Went to Joe Beef. Had a delicious fucking move. Ate horse meat, by the way. We ate prosciutto. They had prosciutto donkey. And they also had raw horse meat on Texas toast. And it was delicious. I love eating a type of animal or food I've never eaten before. No matter what it is, I'll try it. And this was good. The prosciutto was okay. But that horse meat was delicious. And they had this thing called a foie gras double down, which is just two pieces of foie gras. It's just like the KFC double down, but it's got foie gras instead of speaking of French, instead of chicken. And it was so rich. I gained 8 pounds. I weighed myself when I left, and I weighed myself when I came home. 8 pounds. 8 pounds. Oh, so here's what I was going to say. So the fucking poutine didn't set it off. Neither did the steamy hot dog at the Bell Center. 3-4 hours later, I ate Joe Beef. Killed as much as I could. That didn't set it off. So, all right, it wasn't going to hit me. Every once in a while, you get a bunk piece of edible. Went to sleep for 2 hours. Woke up. Was fine. Went to the airport. Totally fine. By the way, Canadian TSA, whatever their version of it is, far and away better than America's. Didn't harass them at all. Put my stuff in a bin. Went through. Totally fine. Got on the airplane. Went to sleep because I only got 2 hours of sleep. Slept for a good 4 or 5 hours on the plane. You know, woke up here or there. We got home. Woke up. Obliterated. Out of my mind high. Hadn't touched anything. Okay, when did I land? I first took my first thing at probably 6 p.m., Montreal time, Eastern time, 6 p.m. So that's 3 p.m. Western time. Landed at 11:15 a.m. So how many hours difference is that? 3, 2, 1, 12, 11, 4, 20 hours later. 20 hours later, obliterated high. Got my stuff, went home, went to a podcast, fucking gone, the whole podcast. Then did Corolla. I probably came down while I was in the waiting room at Corolla, which was like 6:30 p.m. So another 7 hours I was high from the day before. So it was like 27. Oh, Jesus. I mean, I took a lot of stuff, but why didn't it hit me in the beginning? Why didn't it hit me at the time? It hit me later. Drugs are so weird, man. Drugs are so weird. Don't forget, Shroomfest, June 21st, 22nd, 23rd. At some point over that time, I'd start looking for mushrooms now. What are we in now? March, April, May, June? You got like 3 months. Right now is the time to look for mushrooms. Right now is the time to get them. And take part in the world's largest, whatever, let's not compare it to anything, in a worldwide festival of mushrooms. Take part. Join in. If you've never done mushrooms before, seriously, look up my Shroomfest primer. It'll allay a lot of your fears. Allay, I was going for alleviate. Allay might be the right word too, but I don't remember. Don't worry about it. If you're worried about like something going bad, something happening to you, that's movie shit. That's not the real version of mushrooms. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And don't forget, no matter what happens, even in worst case scenario, you have a bad trip. All that is some bad feelings for about 5 hours. And you will be fine afterwards. This ain't acid. This ain't a heavy thing. These are naturally growing or, you know, drug dealer growing. Wonder drugs. They help cure depression. Look up, if you want, look up depression, mushrooms, John Hopkins. Or is it Johns Hopkins? I don't remember. But they did a study on the effects mushrooms has. And they're trying to, like, isolate the active ingredients in psilocybin so they can treat depression with it. It'll help. I mean, I think it helped me. I don't know. Anyway, and it also just makes you feel amazing. And probably you might not have the most biggest spiritual moment of your life. That's what they say happens. People's most spiritual moments are because of mushrooms. Even if you don't get to that moment, you'll laugh like crazy. You'll have a great time and have a great fun time laughing. Go do something interesting. Anyway, all right, you guys. That's the episode. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 107, Frenchie Le Poupou with Mr. Mike Ward. If you guys have any comments or questions, please hit me up on Twitter or on contact at arishaffir.com. You can write me there. I'll check everything, and I'll respond here or there. Where else can you write me? My Facebook fan page. And I guess that's it. Make sure to buy my special, Passive Aggressive, available now. It's just $5, just $4.99. Fuck these assholes like Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari charging $5. You're gouging the man. Charge $4.99 like a real mensch. All right, you guys, we're done, right? Till next week, I'm going to do an episode where I just take your questions and I just answer questions by myself. That's going to happen eventually. So I got to set up an account or something, or like a FormSpring account, so I can just have people write questions and I can answer them on the air. Anyway, I'll figure it out. Also, by the way, Punch Drunk, my other sports podcast, we're switching feeds. So we're going to get a new iTunes feed. It'll be out this week, and we're going to get a new place to watch. We're going to Triple E's, where he does a naughty show. We're going to that studio. So tune in or watch my Twitter, and I will announce, and my Facebook fan page, and I'll announce like at 11 a.m. tomorrow Pacific time the link for where you can watch Punch Drunk Live. It's me, if you don't know, it's me, Jason Tebow, and Sam Tripoli. And it's like 20 to 30% sports, once in a while 40%, and the rest just us fucking off and screwing with each other. It's pretty fun. It's kind of like the conversations we have at the, you know, in the back of the Comedy Store. It's kind of like that. All right, you guys. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 107, Frenchie Le Poupou, with Mr. Mike Ward, over and out. What should I play to go out? Arcade Fire? Maybe Arcade Fire. Oh, I know what I'll play. Adventure Time. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, you guys. Bye.
Alouette, gente, alouette, alouette, gente, plumeré, gentil plumeré, gentil plumeré, alouette, je m'en prie.